Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk about Lake Satoshi, the role of meetup organizers, and discussing self-custody.
All right, we're back. Local Bitcoiners, Rev Hodel here. As always, Reed is with me. And on this recording, it's just the two of us. We don't have a guest. So we're going to be in for some spicy discussion. There's sure a heck of a lot to talk about since we've recorded last and since y'all have heard us with a fresh recording, because we did have a couple of those last episodes sandbagged and released slowly while we were quote unquote on vacation. Bitcoin doesn't go on vacation, and I think that it was kind of hard to be on vacation with all of this that's been going down. But I got a meetup adventure story for you. And this is my meetup, who, you know, Bitcoin account. He joins me in operating this meetup. And that's the South Bend, Indiana meetup. And that meets at Lang Lab on the first Thursday of every month at 6:30 p.m. And it was a small crew at this meetup. But through word of mouth, a new attendee had arrived. And this person was very interesting. I don't know what it is about the South Bend meetup, but it seems that there's a lot of people who are more interested in runes, ordinals, inscriptions, counterparty, kind of using these cryptographic currencies, you know, shitcoins, you could call them, for interesting purposes. And so there was a fella here showing up to the meetup, and he was interested in spinning up his own coin, his own crypto, to act as the currency in which his this little community that he was building was going to use. And it was really cool because there were so few people there, I got a lot of opportunity to really dig in with this guy about, okay, so you could spin up a crypto and plug that into your community, but now you have to bootstrap the whole thing. You know, or you could just use Bitcoin, which already has a lot of people using it. There's a lot of liquidity for it. You know, works pretty darn good. And instead of spinning up your own whole, like, new bootstrapping a whole, like, social media kind of platform, you could use Nostr. And so all the people that would show up, to this thing that you're building, you could aggregate information that already exists on Nostr, populate it. So it's not an empty thing. And I was kind of blowing the dude's mind. He spent so much time on OpenSea and this and that and all of the other stuff. He missed all of the Nostr, cool Bitcoin opportunities because a lot, you know, every shitcoiner likes Bitcoin too, right? He's into Bitcoin. That's why he's at the Bitcoin meetup, right? He was so out of touch with what was possible with Bitcoin and what's been going on with Bitcoin, that he just didn't know that you could do this. I was probably the right person to talk to because the website that Reed has built for Local Bitcoiners is like the epitome, the exact example of what this dude was trying to build. A place where the community can come together, they can transact, they can share culture, build cultural capital together, and find reason, you know, be together, you know, be connected. And so it was really cool to get that guy in the Signal chat. And now I've been sharing some resources with him, and hopefully, you know, instead of him doing all this extra work to spin up a shitcoin and build everything, bootstrap it from ground zero, he could just plug into Bitcoin, plug into Nostr, and really have a lot more opportunity to be successful without so much work.
Sick, man. Yeah. I don't know. It's good to hear people wanting to build community. I think it's the right motivation to want to start thinking outside the box. I think I agree with your advice that spinning up a shitcoin to build a community around, maybe it's not like the best thing to start with or the best thing to surround your community with. I think Bitcoin's a much better way to do that. But yeah, it's great that you had the example for how we've been pitching, you know, and hopefully we're going to be talking about that more, on this podcast. As well as maybe in some other platforms, which maybe we'll talk about that coming up. But building community is, I think maybe possibly one of the upcoming killer apps for Noster. So yeah. Let me share my meetup adventure. So I don't really have one looking back. I, of course, was on vacation in Ireland for these couple crazy weeks of Bitcoin, which is just a very interesting time to be on another continent. But we can talk more about that later. My meetup is coming up this weekend. But before my meetup, so this Thursday, so in 2 days, I'm going to be going to the Boston BitDevs. So making the trip out to Boston. Next week, I might also, if I can swing it, I might be going out to the Albany meetup. So I've been talking about for a while. I haven't made the rounds in some of these a little bit further away meetups. And so I'm really going to be trying to hit a few of the other meetups in my area. But my meetup's this Sunday. So that's Sunday the 16th at 6 p.m. at the Heavy Culture Cooperative in East Hampton. And I don't know, we're going to be talking a lot about just trying to figure out where is everybody at. We have a lot of people who are all of a sudden now changing their cold storage solutions. A bunch of people have reached out to me with questions. People have been asking about seed signers and things like that. So we're going to be talking about all that kind of stuff, about generating your own entropy. You know, we'll be talking about that kind of stuff. So I'm going to bring some materials for people if they want to, you know, borrow my, what do I have? I've got the stamps for stamping stuff into steel. Where, like, if you want to borrow my little stamp things, you can borrow them. I've got the casino dice, you know, if somebody wants to borrow those. So, yeah, we'll be talking about all that stuff this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I've checked on most of my meetup. I feel like everybody's hopefully in a safe position at this point. But, yeah, it should be a lot of interesting discussions coming up. Like Rev was saying, you know, we're really glad to be back, first of all, because it's been a while since we've actually recorded an episode. And we've both really been looking forward to getting back and talking about our community, which of course we're going to do for sure in the second half of the show. But also, you know, I guess I wanted to start with, I guess maybe before we get into those things, there's been another huge thing that's happened very recently here. And you didn't mention it during your meetup stories. But Lake Satoshi just wrapped up, and you know, I wasn't able to be there. But Rev, if you wanted to just kind of give us a little bit of a rundown about how that went, maybe a little bit of a recap, and we can dive into some of the cool shit that was going on at Lake Satoshi.
Absolutely. So this year was the fourth year that I attended Lake Satoshi, and you know, every year leading up to the event, I'm kind of between Chicago and Lansing. And so every year I try and get people that are kind of making their way up to Lansing to take a pit stop at the homestead and hang out for a night or two. And this year was no different. I think really it's an opportunity for those who are participating in this Meshtadel group, you know, this Meshtadel concept, for them to come see my place, because, you know, I've been sharing information about what's been going on at the homestead for years at this point with everybody. And it's a perfect opportunity to swing by and check it out. And so this year I had a fellow from the Meshtadel who was from Finland and a fellow from the Meshtadel who was from Argentina come and stay. So two different continents converging together at the homestead. In addition to that, Barn Miner from Tampa also found his way over with his family and stayed a night, and they got the tour. And so in the Meshtadel, it's a very productive group. You can ask a question. You can brainstorm some stuff, workshop things. Everybody's always trying to be pretty darn productive in that group chat and help each other out. And the same is true when you meet them in person. You know, I'd never actually gotten a chance to meet these people before they were here at my place. And we essentially got straight to work. And they almost put some pressure on me with some expectations of me having some big project to accomplish. And instead, it ended up being more like a day in the life of Rev. And believe me, there was plenty of stuff to do. But that just sort of set the vibe going into the event. You know, I got the chance to meet and hang out, spend some real quality time with some people that I've been communicating with for years, overlapping on really big ideas, as far as, you know, this concept of propagating this Meshtadel, idea and getting it to work. And so I carried that vibe in towards Lake Satoshi with me, when I was heading up there on Friday afternoon. And, you know, because these folks were around, I wasn't really looking at my phone or paying too much attention to, what's been going on out there in the broader Bitcoin internet universe. And so I finally was getting caught up on some of the signal chats and this and that. And I come to find out on this about this cold card issue. And so the whole way the whole time I'm driving up there, I'm just listening to podcast after podcast about, what's been going on with cold card. And I found it to be very concerning, you know, that this whole thing, it was just unexpected. You know, if you listen to the Hell Money podcast with Casey Rodemore and Aaron Redwing, Aaron Redwing is like an astrologer. She likes to bring a lot of astrology into like what's happening with Bitcoin or whatever. And she was saying that right around this time, things are going to get weird. And it was obvious at that time when you're listening to that podcast a few months ago that it was going to be this BIP 110 thing. And it turns out, no, it wasn't this BIP 110 thing, really. It was this cold card thing that was going to be the big upheaval in the Bitcoin community. And so I started to get in kind of a very funky mood, you know, getting to Lake Satoshi on the way up. And so when I got there, you know, I got my windows rolled down and I'm rolling into the back to where the campground is, and I'm just yelling Bitcoin, you know, just kind of calling everyone up to the car and saying hello. And it was great, you know, seeing all of the friends and people that I know from across the state, and all the different meetups that were represented. You know, Cleveland guys were there, Indianapolis guys were there, people from everywhere, you know. And got rolling into it. But there was like this figurative and literal dark cloud over the event the whole time. Not only were we dealing with the implications of what, just figuring this all out, what was going on with cold card, and some people were away from their devices, many hours away, and had no choice but to just, I can't remember if I did the dice rolls or what, you know, what was going on. And I'm kind of here now. Am I going to take me and my family back? Like, is it, because this was, information was rolling out piece, you know, it was pretty quick, but like in the heat of, you know, the moment of the event, it's kind of like, you don't really have a full picture to go off of. It's very hard to make the decision. Do you bail on the whole event for maybe a non-issue? Maybe you were good. And yeah, so there, man, was that.
Just because it's like, so the timing was just, you know, you were at Lake Satoshi and I had just left. I was on a different continent. Like I haven't left the continental, like I haven't left North America in, I don't even know, like years. And so it's like, I just, of all the times, like all of a sudden I'm far, far away from my, you know, devices and my seed phrases. And, I was like you. I was like a kind of out of the loop because we were out doing stuff and trying to come up to speed on what it is. And I was doing the same thing. It was a battle. Like I had to, you know, I ultimately had to make the decision that I thought, you know, I guess I can talk about my setups, you know, now that it's all different, but you know, I had multi-sigs and I felt like maybe that would be enough. But you know, one of those setups had two Mark threes. And I'm pretty sure I didn't do the dice rolls on the Mark threes. So, you know, it was pretty stressful. So I can only imagine too. I very easy for me to understand the mental position that puts people in. And, you know, that has an effect on the mood of the over, like the vibes, I'm sure were affected. Were you feeling like the vibes were affected?
Well, yeah. And it was so heavy, man, is like, because regardless if anyone was getting their Bitcoin taken at the event, they were losing their stack to it. I couldn't help but think about all the people that, because there was people coming up in the group chats as I was, you know, scrolling through there. And it was Friday night, you know, that I kind of finally went to my tent and looked into the group chats and saw more than one person already that had lost their Bitcoin. And these were not people yet that I personally knew, you know, but they were people that I've been involved with. And
devastating.
Heavy, dude. Ugh. And so so the reason why I went to my tent on Friday night was because it started to fucking rain at like 1:45. It was time to pack it up because it's raining, you know, it's late enough. Let's just go try again tomorrow. And there was rain in the forecast all day Saturday. And we were spared most of the day on Saturday from that rain, but right around when it gets good, right around 5 o'clock, all the way until like 10 o'clock, it was like a downpour. Just horrible rain. And so, like I said, there's this figurative dark cloud and then this literal dark cloud over the event. And of course, that meant that I think last year there was the highest attendance. That was it was absolutely huge last year. And this year it was much more subdued.
Interesting.
I think the rain, you know, limited people from wanting to come. For whatever reason, you know, it was just much more subdued. Ironically, though, I think that there was more people that I knew there than ever before, which was one of the fantastic parts of the event, where it's like the whole time I was just kind of meandering, man, just through the campsite, and you run into people, and then someone was like, hey, oh, Rev, so someone was like looking for you over here, and this person wanted to say hi, and boom, boom, boom. And then I'd be talking with, you know, with folks, and then I would be doing the same thing, like, oh, you're talking about this? Well, you need to talk to so-and-so. The whole Lake Satoshi event is it's a meetup of meetups, right? All these meetups, it's these little clans of you know, the core groups of these different meetups from all over, these groups of guys getting together. And honestly, it's a family event. It's not just the meetup goers. It's them and their families. So the kids are all playing, you know, it's a very, I don't know how to explain it. It's just kind of, just a free flowing thing. You show up there, you just get to talking, maybe you eat a little bit, maybe you drink a little bit, maybe you smoke a little bit, and the kids are all playing and every, you know, you just kind of do whatever feels good. And everyone gets connected and has that time. You have this like 48 hours of real quality time with each other. Get deep with the conversation one-on-one, you know, and when that ends, you can go and turn around and walk a few steps and start another one. And I talk about cultural capital a lot, but this is a great example of these different cultural capitals being built at every meetup, right? There is a culture to each meetup. And then that meetup can bring the aggregate of that, like their cultural capital, to Lake Satoshi. And now we share our best memes, basically, our best nuggets of cultural capital with each other. And so now when we all go back to our respective places, we've got a way more robust set of knowledge and experience to draw from because of what we've exchanged at the event. Now, Lake Satoshi is also, go ahead, Reed.
I was just going to say, you know, it's a true regional event. You know, that's what how many regional events have we been talking about? I mean, look, I know we talked a lot about, you know, the time leading up to Lake Satoshi, but it's good to hear that it fulfilled on, you know, that part of the promise of Lake Satoshi, which is to bring together all the local meetups. You know, I mean, whether you want to call that a meetup of meetups, whether you want to call that a regional event, maybe Lake Satoshi is more than a regional event, but I think it's also a regional event. And so we've talked so many different times about all the different benefits of why that strengthens, you know, these larger regions when you can get together like that and the meetups can, you know, have a chance to, I don't know, blend that, like you were saying, maybe like blend their own culture of their own local meetup into the broader community. And of course, I'm sure it was just so many good connections and friendships end up getting made at things like that, I don't know. It just, events like that always kind of get me going. And so I'm excited to, I, I think I mentioned maybe on the last time we recorded, actually, the down in Connecticut, there were some of the guys have been talking about putting together a regional event in our area. And, I think it'd be really good. So, yeah, good to hear that Lake Satoshi, you know, met that part of the promise at a minimum.
Yeah, that was what, you know, that was for me, what was my biggest takeaway from the whole thing was that there is serious connection and exchange going on here. If you're interested in this mesh it all concept, this is a facilitator of that. Because now in, you know, maybe the meetups have heard about each other, maybe one or two guys have crisscrossed joined one another. But this is like, now you get to see all of the Michigan meetups in one place. You get to see all of, you know, the aggregate of what these Midwest meetups and all that. And it becomes like this mesh network. The connection deepens in a real way when you spend that time together and you build that trust. It's maybe it's a powwow, you know, maybe a powwow is a better way to describe it.
I think we've talked about it a little bit in that way before, haven't we? I thought there were, maybe we didn't record that in an episode, but I think one of the times that we've talked about, I think it was you, was it you that was telling me like about what a powwow actually is and how those cultures and communities, it was something that they took very seriously because it was an opportunity for them to come together with, and a lot of times it was to do commerce, you know, to like find out, you know, hey, you know, this community has these things to offer and these are their special skills. And this other community that's, they have these things to offer and they have these special skills. And we're going to come together and exchange ideas, you know, exchange goods and services.
So I think that's what a powwow is. That's what Lake Satoshi is. And really the biggest thing that gets exchanged is the cultural capital. But still there is very much, an economic component to Lake Satoshi as far as facilitating Bitcoin transactions. This is a great opportunity to do some experimentation and build some experiential capital about different ways we can create Bitcoin markets and earn and buy things with Bitcoin. And so one of the big sort of Meshtadel planned side events or sub events of the event was this feast that was planned for Saturday evening. And so, as I mentioned, it was raining, downpouring, horrible all throughout this feast that we wanted to do. And the idea with the feast was that typically there is, if someone wants to like put on a sub event or, you know, any event whatsoever, you typically have like a person, a leader, and someone to say, hey, okay, we're going to do this. I need a person to do this. I need someone to do that. Let's like organize.
An organizer.
Yeah. Someone to like kind of point people in the right direction and get an inventory of what's available and delegate how to use it all. In this instance, the feast was an experiment in like, what happens if everyone just imagines the most amazing situation for this feast individually? And then taking that imagination, you just bring what you have to the table. Kind of a decentralized, ungovernable kind of way to facilitate a feast. And so this is different than a potluck. Maybe people who listen to this are thinking, oh, well, that sounds like a potluck.
I was just about to say, it sounds like a potluck.
You just bring whatever dish you want. But so when you tie the economic activity to the Bitcoin in there, so some people, wanted, and this was me, you know, me and a few other people were looking to earn some Bitcoin. I've got this lamb and I can take the lamb and I can turn it into these very delicious lamb burgers. And, I'm not going to just bring that and give that away. I will find the people that are looking for an elevated, feast and they can pay $15 for one of those lamb burgers and have like a really nice burger, not just like some whatever someone got at the grocery store burger that's floating around off someone's grill. Like this was very, you know, supposed to be good, really good. And then other people wanted to just kind of do work out like, well, so if you're selling lamb burgers, well, would you take like, maybe I can, you know, trade you this and that and sort of work on this like barter level, value for value kind of situation. And then of course there was plenty of people that were just interested in like the feast of my dreams would be like everyone just shows up with the delicious fruit food and we have a potluck. Now, we'd been planning this for months. And there was a lot of big ideas, the big ideas got whittled down into more simple and fractalized, propositions. And so by the time it came to set up for this feast, nobody actually knew what the hell was going on. We had like a little bit
and
of
the
a
rain
meeting.
Probably didn't help, right?
Well, and so
it's gotta be some sort of chaos going on.
There was this rain that really made it logistically challenging because all of the grills and everything, you can't stand out in the rain. You could, but nobody wants to do that, grill out in the middle of the rainstorm. So all the cooking had to be consolidated underneath, the canopies and shit. I brought this giant tent, that I had my wedding in actually. So it was like, you could fit easily 40 people under that tent. And so I had that set up thinking it was just going to be a defining border for like where this feast would take place. But it turned out to be like essential because without that thing, you know, there would be nowhere to stay dry. Otis Bittmeyer had his bus. This was ultimately Otis Bittmeyer's, his idea to do this feast. And so he had his bus there and, he had built I don't know, man, this must have been a 40-foot tarp, awning that he had coming off that bus. And so that's where a lot of the cooking took place and all that, but people were hanging out under that thing too. And so, and then there was a couple easy ups and stuff around. It was just like a pretty interesting example of, when Bitcoiners get together, these are all people that are one paying attention. No one was just like, just looking to party. Everyone was like trying to contribute and actually create, something together. And two, very like resourceful and capable people of like cooperating to solve problems. And so for as much of a shit show as the rain made things, it really felt very smooth how it all went down. Now, the biggest hiccup there was that when it came to actually doing the Bitcoin transactions, one, the revolution will have bad UX. And, Zeus wallet was taking forever to open and, you know, the internet was bad. And so it was like hard to actually make transactions. And then you add the layer of the rain on top of it and there was no signage, no one really knew what the deal was. The bus was kind of far away from where a lot of the Meshadel folks were hanging out. We have this hill we call the Meshadel Hill where that's where all the Meshadel people come and hang out. And so that created like an isolation. The rain isolated people because in order to make the journey from Meshadel Hill to the feast, you had to go traverse like a long way in the rain. So you're either driving, getting stuck in the mud. There's people getting stuck in the mud. It was chaos, man. That whole rain. But, and really too, there is another economic component. So to wrap that up, the feast went well. I had the lamb burgers. Augie had his delicious, pork sausages that he was selling. Otis Bittmeyer whipped up some hand cranked ice cream. The Pleb de Polymath had, some walleye wings for deep fried walleye wings. There was, Katie from, the Green Bay meetup. She was making pizzas, homemade pizzas. And so there was a lot of really good food. Oh, and then there was Soul Exporter and his son was there. And Soul Exporter's son, actually commandeered my folding table and he set that up as a bar. And so he was making mixed drinks and we had Ben Justman's wine there and Fundamentals had these really nice cigars. And so there was just good shit to be had everywhere, even though it was raining, you know, even though everyone was kind of worried if their Bitcoin was actively being drained from their wallet. We managed to have a good time with that. But there's another, aspect to the Lake Satoshi, and that's on Saturday, there's like this, main panel. There's panels and workshops and stuff at a place they call the shop. And at the shop, they also have like a little bazaar set up outside under an awning where people are setting up tables and kind of wheeling and dealing their stuff for Bitcoin. And so the shop is really on Saturday where the people come from. They're like people that are like a couple hours away or whatever. They just want to come for the day. They don't want to camp. They show up to the shop. They see the panels all day and they kind of buy stuff at the bazaar and work their deals. And because of that, once again, because of the rain, there was very low attendance at the shop. And so it was like, normally Lake Satoshi for me is a pretty good opportunity to earn some Bitcoin. And that didn't really come to fruition because of this weather. But needless to say, oh man, here's another story when it comes to, so the value for value thing, right? I've been trying to like live this as much as possible and really I have fun with it. And so, there was a guy, this guy Keld, he's part of the Detroit, group. He's out there in Detroit and he had bought this brand, this Bitcoin brand that you heat it up red hot in the fire and then you can like brand wood with it and shit. Do you know about this?
No, you were saying brand and I was thinking like a brand name, but you meant an actual brand. Gotcha.
Yeah. Like he was hot branding these, nice. These wooden coasters. And then what he would number them, and then put the block height on there when it was made and all that stuff. And he was just giving them away. Well, it's like, I know I'm connected with Keld on Noster. And so I was like, you give me one of those coasters, I'm zapping you fat for that. Right. I just found a way to get him the Bitcoin. And there was a lot of examples. So I actually went into the event. Usually I come very prepared to take care of myself with my own food, my own beer, my own smokes, whatever. And I intentionally came this year with almost nothing, like the bare minimum. And I wanted to see if I could like wheel and deal my way through the event, just like value for valuing Bitcoin with people. Like, hey, can I get a beer? I'll give you 2,000 sats. And of course, most of the time people are like, don't pay me anything. But it's like, haha, you can't stop me because I know how to find you on Noster. And send you Bitcoin anyways. And so I did a lot of playing around, that way at Lake Satoshi, which was a lot of fun. I ended up meeting a lot of folks from the local Bitcoiners community.
Nice.
Logs, awesome. Was there and Logs and I spent a lot of time. Another guy, Doug, was with Logs from Indianapolis. Had a great time hanging out with those guys. Actually, a ton of the guys from Indianapolis were there and I had, not necessarily met them. I've been to the meetup one time, but been in that group chat forever. So it was really cool to meet all those guys.
That's awesome. You know, I've been talking and thinking a lot about the value for value stuff too recently. And I guess maybe I just to throw it out there. So Chad F. and I started a podcast because like any good Meshtadelian podcaster, I must start a second podcast apparently. But you know, so if we don't talk about value for value enough on this show for you, you can check out Chad and I talking about value for value on that show. But needless to say, you know, I've been thinking about it, you know, more and more these days. And, you know, there's something about Noster specifically that kind of gets maybe the juices flowing. It, you know, once you hit that, you know, oh, I just want to zap your note on Noster and you zap the note and you feel good about it. And it's like, yeah, that was a cool meme or whatever it is that you want to send 21 sats for. But it starts to get you thinking like, well, if I'm willing to give 21 sats for that, what happens when I come across like real value, right? Like what happens when I come across an hour long podcast on a really important topic and I'd get a ton of value out of the information that I've received? Well, you're damn right. I want to send some value back to those people. And it's going to be a lot more than 21 sats, right? If I'm zapping 21 sats for somebody saying good morning, how much more is it going to be? And like you said, now you're talking about physical goods, right? And so now physical goods is a whole different thing, right? Because it's not, you know, internet material is like infinitely copyable and all this other stuff and information wants to be free, but tangible objects is just the object itself. That's all you get. And so it's just like, well, you know, like you said, you want to zap some sats for a beer or for a coaster or for whatever it is. It's like, hell yeah, I want to give some sats for that. Like, it's just like once you, the more time you start spending, you know, there's, in order for value to really take hold, it's a big mental transition. It's just so far away from like the fiat world. The whole time we've lived our whole lives, it's all about, you know, people trying to rip you off and you got to be really careful with your money because somebody's out there just wanting to steal it from you And like everybody wants you to try to trick you into like overpaying for stuff. And you really got to be like on your game and like savvy to like protect your. And so when you come across the value for value community where all of that is completely flipped on its head, where the material, you know, you're putting stuff out there essentially for free. And there's, you're trying to provide the maximum possible value that you could provide. Then, you know, you're expecting that people are going to be like, well, yeah, you know, I see how valuable this is. And I want to make sure that to get square with you, that I'm going to give some value back. And of course, there's more than one way to give value. You know, and it's not always just about like sending money, but there, you know, there's, you know, you talk about it all the time and we've started talking about it more actually outside the podcast too, like all these different forms of capital. And I will be honest, you know, I think that just hearing you talk about it so many times on this podcast, it's honestly, it's been sinking in more and more for me. Like I see it more and more all over the place in my life. Like, well, you know, I guess this didn't, you know, this particular, you know, event or whatever didn't exactly yield me the monetary capital I was hoping for, but look at all this other type of capital I got while I was here. And so that's, it's been a really good effect on me to start realizing all the different types of capital that I can be accumulating. And it doesn't necessarily have to be monetary. But obviously, you know, money is going to be one of the most fluid, easiest possible ways that you could share value, right? Because now all of a sudden you could just take that and you could magic that into all kinds of different stuff. You could transform money into a whole bunch of different types of things, an infinite variety of possibilities of what you could turn that into.
And well, so yeah, just and if someone gives you a beer, right? And you're like, okay, I owe you one. And so like the easiest, most liquid form of capital to just immediately get something, right? Point something back in their direction is Bitcoin. If you got them on Nostr and they've got an LN URL, so, you know, get their wallet set up, whatever, you can just immediately zap them. And instead of like trying to remember and wait and you don't have, and all this stuff is, it's, this gets into kind of something I want to talk about later, maybe in what is like consensus, right? Or like what is this aggregate of like everyone's relationship and what do we really owe one another? Do we really owe one another anything when we give shit to each other? And so especially when you look at it through the lens of the value for value thing, right? And so Bitcoin ultimately is just a way to immediately recognize that you receive some value and to send some back, right? Value for value. Bitcoin makes that very easy. Now, if you don't have the Bitcoin, that's where the time, talent, and treasure comes in. You know, that's where the other forms of capital come in. All right, you know, Bitcoin would be really easy if I just had a few extra sats laying around. I could shoot them your way. But instead, you know, I'm going to, you know, come over to your place and give you a hand someday or, you know, give you, you have a tough problem you're trying to solve and I tend to have expertise in that particular area. I'll share some intellectual capital with you or some experiential capital with you or whatever and, help you out there for that beer, right? And ultimately the giving of the beer is a way for somebody to build social capital, right? So you're saying, hey, I will give you this thing. And when you give me the beer, then I'm like, yeah, man, thank you for the beer. I like you. You know, let's now have a conversation and we can be friends and that builds social capital. It's all an intricate, you know, tangled up web, but the Bitcoin is the easiest thing, the easiest form of capital to move at your will right away. Mm-hmm. If you want to settle things up, you can use Bitcoin to do that very effectively.
So maybe as a transition, because I do, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the episode, how crazy of the last couple of weeks have been in Bitcoin. And so I want to definitely spend some time talking about that. But maybe a little bit as a transition, to go from these different forms of capital and the value for value stuff. I thought maybe I would share like a short story, maybe, which is I'm trying to figure out, huh? I think I'm just going to, we'll just keep, I don't want to dox anybody. I don't want to share too many details about the conversation, but I was having a conversation, with someone about cultural capital. And the question kind of came up, you know, well, what do you do with cultural capital? Like, I understand what you can do with like monetary capital, but like, what do you do with cultural capital? Like, how do you make that benefit you day to day? And one of the responses that I got was something I hadn't really thought of before, but it really makes a lot of sense, which is, what do you do with cultural capital? You get more of it, right? That's what you do. Is as you start building cultural capital, it becomes easier to start building more cultural capital. And what do you do with that? Cultural capital is there when you need it. That's really what it's there for, right? When you need it, you're going to be damn glad that you had it. And sure, maybe you don't need it every minute of every day, right? You're not like going down to the grocery store and you're going to go exchange your cultural capital for the eggs or whatever. That's not exactly how it works, of course. You know, we've got other forms of capital for that. And so, but cultural capital is something that, you know, this person just shared it in that perfect way. It was like, it's there when you need it. And, you know, the reason why that's a transition here is I was kind of saying, so I reached out to my meetup, you know, just as it sent out the reminder, August meetup's coming up. It's this Sunday. And I kind of made the point in there that this is the time that you should be glad that you have your local meetup, because everybody's thinking about moving their Bitcoin. Everybody's wondering like what all the different trade-offs are and if they're willing to like go down these other paths. And really what they need is they need to trust a group of Bitcoiners that they can come talk to in person. And we have that because we have the meetup. And so this is the time, right? Now you've been coming to the meetup. People know you. You've got that web of trust, right? People, you know, understand your story and they know your background and they know that you're a good guy. And now you can come to the meetup and you can talk about some real serious shit and get some real serious advice. You know, during one of these, you know, honestly, pretty challenging times in Bitcoin. And so the real transition here to the next topic is I kind of wanted to ask you, or at least riff on this a little bit. What do you think the role of Bitcoin meetup organizers is? And obviously, I think for right now, I'm mostly talking about the cold card situation. Because this is a really serious thing. And, like I was sharing, you know, every time I hear a story about someone who was affected by it, it's just like so devastating. And so I feel very grateful that I was, you know, that I didn't lose any coins. But there was a period of time where I thought maybe I had. And it's just, you know, it's just devastating to think of what people might be going through. So I don't know. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about like, what do you think the role of a Bitcoin meetup organizer is like as we're going through all this?
Well, it's a tricky thing because, a lot of people are going to, I think there's going to be some higher attendance at the meetups because of this. This is kind of like an extreme, you know, at the extremes of the bull market, the attendance of the meetups picks up. And it seems like whenever there's anything dramatic to the downside, the attendance at the meetups pick up because everyone wants to figure out what the hell's really going on, because that's right. When you go to the meetup, you talk to everybody who's in your community and figure it out. And so I think a lot of people are going to be looking for prescriptions. Well, how should I roll my dice? What should I get? Casino dice? Should I, you know, flip a coin? What if the coin is 70% biased? Tell me what to do. And I think the answer is like, look, these are options. And you got to think about this shit for yourself and make the best decision based on your own context and your situation. And this is what permaculture, if you're looking at permaculture, you're learning about natural systems and complex systems. This is always the answer. It depends. It depends. And I can't prescribe you anything, but I can help you think about ways to look to analyze your context and make and guide you towards a better decision making process for yourself. You can never say like, well, of course, just use SeedSigner, dude, and set up this 3 of 5 multisig and bury these keys over here. And this is exactly what I do. And I'm just fine. And just copy me. That is not, people obviously got burned from being prescriptive with this cold card shit. And so it's a big moment in saying like, dude, unfortunately, as much as I want, if I could tell you the magic bullet answer, I would, but like there is none. And you have to work through this. We got to basically workshop this to help you figure out what you need.
Yeah, the, you know, cold storage is extremely personal. Everyone's in a different circumstance. You know, you mentioned like burying seed phrases is a great example, because guess what? Not everybody can really do that, right? If you don't have a yard that's like on your property, then you're probably not going to be, what are you going to like bury it in the park? You know, or in some random place in the woods where you're definitely going to forget where it is, right? So it's not the same for everyone. Like everyone's in a different situation. And I have always, you know, people ask me, you know, well, what do you do, right? If I'm not willing to say, I think you should do X, Y, or Z, the question is, well, what do you do? And, you know, I've always said, look, I think geographically distributed multisig. I think that's what you should do. You know, that's what I do. But I, you know, right off the bat, I was like, that's a lot of secrets you need to go hide. And if it's geographically distributed, dude, that's hard. It's hard to have places for you to go stash this stuff. You know, that's for different people in different circumstances, that's like nearly impossible.
Exactly. You have to be honest about like, look, if you're comfortable talking about exactly what you do, whatever detail, to whatever detail level you're comfortable disclosing, you should be also talking about like, this is why this works for me in my context. And if your context and your situation is different, maybe that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, maybe that, and dude, this is like a permaculture example from when I got started homesteading. As I never had chickens before, so I just needed a prescription to start doing chickens, right? I couldn't make it up for myself. I had no experience. I had no way to even evaluate my context because I had no idea what chickens could even do or what they needed at all. And so I had to just take like my favorite dude from YouTube and copy his system. Now the stakes with chickens and your life savings is a different thing, but yeah. Once again, slow and small solutions with permaculture. So is there a way that you can, not put all your eggs in one basket? I just imagine all the people that had these cold cards and they got the steel plates, you know, and they got their magic one seed to rule them all. And they spent all the time doing the steel plates. And then it turns out that seed was absolute shit. And they spent all the money on the plates and everything because it was like, this was the way to back up your seed. And all they had to do was listen to Richard Greaser over there at the Bugle and go to Office Depot and get some printer paper. And they could have just it would have been a different story.
It's all right? Trade-offs. So, all trade-offs. It's all personal. A lot more of people's time was wasted on other things other than stamping their seed phrase into metal. There were much bigger areas of waste, compared to that.
Yeah.
But,
and I don't mean to be insensitive about it. To be honest, dude, I shed tears about this shit, knowing people personally that have lost Bitcoin because of this. And, you know, it fucking sucks, man. It's like, it's the craziest thing that's ever happened since my time in Bitcoin. Like, I could imagine like what was going on with Mt. Gox would have been maybe similar, but this is like, you were thinking that you were in control here, you know, and that you were, protected. And the wall, unfortunately, was like way down, crazy. So anyways, I don't want to, it's a touchy thing. You have to kind of, we got to take lessons from this at the same time as like be graceful with the people that have befallen tragedy, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I guess there's just the one maybe additional point to make here, because it feels very much like dark, like this dark cloud, like all this dark times. And it really truly is like, I can't think of another word other than just absolutely devastating to hear about all the really good, hardworking people that, you know, in some cases lost everything. It's really, truly a tragic event in Bitcoin. But the reality is, you know, Bitcoin is under attack, and Bitcoin is always under attack, literally always constantly under attack. And, you know, we talk a lot about when you hold your own keys, you're being self-sovereign. And if you want to be self-sovereign and your property is under attack, you have to defend your property or you're going to lose it. And, you know, again, not to be insensitive at all. And this was a surprise, right? People didn't know that this was happening. It came out of nowhere. You didn't have time to prepare. But now we do have time to prepare, right? Now, hopefully the big wave is over. People have moved their coins. If they felt like they were affected, they've got them to a safer setup with better entropy or whatever they needed to do. And so now hopefully everyone will start thinking a little bit more adversarially about their stack and ready to be agile if they need to make a change, be educated about what risks they are open to. You know, this was open, so, you know, fine. You know, we don't have to talk about if it was open source or source viewable, but regardless, this bug was out there for years and nobody saw it. And so, you know, maybe this introduces into the Bitcoin culture that, you know, maybe before you run free and open source software, throw, you know, spend a few bucks on an AI to go check out the repo for you and say, hey, is there, you know, are you seeing anything that I should be concerned about with this project?
Especially with the fringe shit, you know, like the stuff like, you know, that it's, if you're like looking to experiment around, absolutely, yeah. You know, cause
with and the if, big it's, cart, if your with money the is going thing, into was, it,
there wasn't a lot of incentives with, for people to poke holes in their code.
Completely
because
agree.
There was no, you know, like they forked Trezor, right? To, and so like now Trezor benefited from them forking because now they've got both the eyes of the Trezor devs and the cold card devs on their code because there's real shit on the line here. And so when it comes to the stuff like this, this is the advantage of while it opens up the AIs to be able to find the vulnerabilities first. At the same time, you got the higher potential to find the vulnerabilities in the first place. So they're not there. And so this gets back to, I want to kind of loop it back into cultural capital here because the whole reason why this took place, or I wouldn't say it's the reason, but how this can be mitigated in the future, one big way is how do we propagate cultural capital as a Bitcoin culture? The way that the way that everyone ended up with the fucking cold card was because everyone had low entropy and there was low entropy in the available 40 HPW, right? Cold Card was able to be a sponsor on a lot of the podcasts that you would listen to, right? I was listening to these podcasts and everyone, whoa, the Cold Card is the best. The Cold Card is the best. And then you go over to Twitter and, What hardware wallet should I get? Well, fuck Ledger, you know, the Cold Card is the best. The Cold Card is the best. And so there was this very centralized form of propagation of the cultural capital. Now that we have this meetup culture, now there can be a much more decentralized dissemination of cultural capital. And let me remind everybody what cultural capital is. So cultural capital is the collective intellectual capital and experiential capital of the group. How you arrive at not your keys, not your coins is because people got Mt. Goxed and they got burned and that led, that experience that they went through led to the meme, not your keys, not your coins. So now because that happened, you've got this meme that helps everyone realize like when you're fucking around with the custodian, you want to hold your own keys because now they can't rug you. Right. And so this is an evolution of cultural capital here where it's like, okay, this big pipe of Twitter and the podcasts, the PodConf, right, was a good way to get everyone on the same page, but it was also an attack vector. It was also a weak point. And now we know enough to propagate the cultural capital in smaller groups. So that way, you know, if everybody in Ohio loves River because River's a company in Ohio, that's okay. They know the best ways about River. They got connections with the guys. And if River rugs, right? Like those guys know what they knew what they were getting into. But the idea is that there should be all of these decentralized, solutions for each community and they don't need to overlap so broadly with the entire, culture.
It's a great point. It's a great point. And I heard that print actually on the most recent Rock Paper Bitcoin podcast. I think it was something Fundamentals was talking about and made that exact point that, dude, CoinKai owned the podcast circuit. They owned it. They were everywhere. They were advertising on a lot of different podcasts. They had relationships with a lot of different podcasters. And the other thing too is they were ridiculously toxic online, right? Like just a huge dick. Like MDK was a huge dick to so many different people, just a constant attack of their competition. And, you know, I feel like recently in Bitcoin culture, we've seen attitudes like that before with like the extreme toxicity. And anytime you get into these ad driven models, right? If you're a podcaster and you're rolling ads, that means that you have, relationships with these companies. And whether it's your, sponsor, who now maybe all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't really want to talk shit about one of my sponsors to my show because they've been sponsoring me for a long time. So maybe I'll just keep my thoughts to myself. You know, there's like the self-censorship in that way. But, you know, the other big part of Bitcoin culture recently that's been very toxic is a lot of the discussions around the BIP 110 stuff, which is the other giant thing that's been going on in Bitcoin the last couple of weeks. Is a lot of that came to a head. And I don't know, like part of me wonders how much people just didn't want to be canceled, right? They didn't want to come under attack from this army that was ready to just absolutely try to demolish your character if you spoke ill of their dream of what Bitcoin should become someday. And I don't know, man, it's like red flags. Like now I can see it, hindsight's 2020, but it was there with NBK. It was there with CoinKite, you know, these red flags. And I think a lot of that, you know, hopefully people are seeing those same red flags when they start thinking back about all these different podcasters that maybe, you know, maybe they told you to run a BIP 110 node and now you're stuck and you wrecked your node and you're going to have to redo everything because, you know, you listen to someone who is worried about being canceled by the mob. And so I don't know. I don't like the incentives. Anytime you get into situations like that, the messaging gets all messed up because the incentives get misaligned.
Well, yeah. Is in that kind of environment, is there an incentive to share your experience and what you know? If what you're going to talk about is going to be attacked and strawmanned into you're a pedo or whatever, it's just more valuable for you to not participate in that discussion. And so, yeah, now that it's over, I think we can talk about what we can learn from it. And I think the biggest takeaway for me was that, you know, even if there's like a small, loud group that wants to change something, effectively, it's very hard to change anything. Like this building of consensus was, I mean, I've had people say that, oh no, it wasn't really rushed trying to build consensus around this BIP 110 thing. But I think that in relative to other historic soft forks, this would have been the most rushed one in recent history, right? If you compare it to SegWit and Taproot, which are the big ones, right? This would have been a big one. And so there's just not been that time to get everyone. Once again, the cultural capital has to be there in order for you to fork. Everyone has to have the same knowledge and experience around a thing in order for consensus to be built. You can't have consensus without everyone being on the same page.
So let's talk about, the thing that we had kind of written down here for the last part of the show before we get into the value for value section is to talk about like, what is consensus? And I'm glad you brought up the other, because that was one of the things I wanted to bring. So right when it was actually before, actually, when was this? Well, I don't have the date right in front of me. But it was before BIP 110 really had its number yet. And we were already talking about it in our meetup because people were asking about it. I think it was called 444 back then for some reason. I don't know why exactly. I don't know enough about the history to know why the number changed, but we had started talking about it and I wanted to show a case study about what happened, like another soft fork. And so I pulled up Taproot and we did a little bit of it was our Bitcoin history topic for the Socratic seminar. And I was like, let's just talk about what happened during Taproot. So between Taproot getting its BIP number assigned and by the time it locked in, it was a year and a half. Taproot had overwhelming support. There was virtually no one who was against it. The big battle that was going on, and air quotes here, big battle about Taproot was activation method. Because everyone was so confident that it was going to activate that it was the only question was just how should we do it? And there was a little bit of tension about if it should be, should the nodes enforce it first or should the miners flag for it first? And that was it. And so the way that they had built, you know, how are they going to activate it? You know, they did something called speedy trial and they had a tight window and they needed 90% of blocks to lock in, over, I think it was like a 3 month window. And then if it doesn't lock in, then they were going to do a user activated soft fork after that. But guess what? They had 99.7% miner signaling. So yeah, like what is consensus? Like consensus is messy and it's going to be difficult to actually put your finger on what, like, oh, tell me the definition. When have we crossed the threshold and we have consensus? Well, I don't really know, but I know Taproot had it. How about that? 99.7% miner signaling in a tight window. And no user dissent of any kind to be heard almost anywhere. Okay. That's what consensus was. And so if that's consensus, you know, this BIP110 thing was nowhere near that. And actually I really liked some of the numbers, you know, Sir Spencer, Wolfgang City, did a great breakdown. The way that he was talking about BIP110 was basically just by the numbers. He's like, look, let's just talk about this for real. Okay. At the absolute peak, you guys had like 18.5% of the nodes. That was like the big finish line home stretch. You got to like less than 20% of the nodes. So it's like, well, you know, do the nodes enforce the rules? Well, it sounds like they do. And the nodes said, no, we don't want to run this. We don't want to run this fork because 80% of them, or even more than 80%, weren't even running it and probably had no plans to run it.
Well, you have to think about the people that are the spammers, they're running nodes in order to do the ordinals inscription stuff and to do it well. Now, sure, you can do aggregate services just like you can do pooled mining and everything else. But ultimately, the people who are interested in the spam have to run nodes. The miners have no incentive to make a change that would, you know, limit the potential for transactions to take place. They have an incentive for more potential possibilities for transactions to take place. And you could see that with the lowering of the fee rate where the blocks were so empty that they're like, well, fuck, we'll just lower the fee rate so we can get some transactions in here because if no transactions are happening, that's counter incentive to what the Bitcoin network is supposed to do.
I think it's simpler than that though. From the miner's perspective, I think it's even simpler than that because like we saw with the BIP110 thing, as soon as you start forking, right, as soon as you end up in a situation where you're possibly going to be on a stale chain, that means that you spent, as a miner, you spent all that time and effort. We know how unbelievably hard it is to mine a block. Well, you just mined that block and threw it right into the trash can. That was a total waste of a block. Why would you? So I don't necessarily think miners are thinking about, oh my gosh, should we? Is there like an incentive here for like JPEGs? Like, dude, I bet they're not even thinking about that at all. I think the miners are thinking about how do we make sure the next block that we mine is going to be on the majority chain so that way we get the payout for it. And yeah, I think if 90 something percent of all the Bitcoin nodes were all going to run this other fork, we all agreed this is the way it's going to go. I think the miners would have followed, yes, out of fear that they would end up on a stale chain. And because that's, I think, the number one thing that they're thinking about. The last thing they want is a stale chain.
Well, once again, it comes down to transactions, because a miner can mine empty blocks.
Absolutely.
Right. You don't have to put any transactions in there. It's just, okay, where are the users at? Who are going to be actually facilitating the movement, the activity of the network? And, it's the people making transactions. So look at Taproot, right? The miners totally activated that. So are the miners in control of Bitcoin because they were able to activate the software? Does this mean that the miners can all of a sudden say, well, now we want to collude with the exchanges and say, oh, well, the exchanges are making the vast majority of the transactions, and so we could work together here to create some sort of extra value out of these, raise the fee rate, whatever they... Can they do that if the exchanges and the miners try to get together? The exchanges run nodes. The miners run nodes.
Basically the block size wars. Like going back it was the miners and the exchanges. They were the big blockers for the most part.
So they've got nodes. They've got hash power. They could start running some code, right? They could say, oh, look, we'll run this code together and create a situation where everyone has to join us because we're the big dogs. And nobody has to run that code.
Nope.
They don't force you to run that code. And so if there is any, you have to have, once again, a massive dominance in order to force through something like that, to collude like that. That's the centralization, right? This is what we're all worried about, is how centralized is Bitcoin becoming? And clearly it's not so centralized that changes can just happen willy-nilly. As long as there's enough decentralization, then it is a literal aggregate of the decisions of the group, of everyone participating in the network. That is what consensus is. It's the aggregate of all the people doing Bitcoin stuff. And you can see examples of this, and it doesn't track exactly, right? Okay, but it's similar in the price discovery of something, right? You could set whatever price you think. And if you're the only guy in town and that has this item or this widget or whatever, you're the only one producing it, and you could just price it so expensive and force everyone to buy it. But guess what? Maybe people can't afford to buy it. Maybe somebody else is going to figure out an alternative to compete with you. And all of a sudden, you're not in control of the price of that thing anymore. The market is in control of the price of that thing. The price has to change.
And I guess maybe just to close this off, because we should probably be transitioning here to our favorite part of the show, which is the value section of the show. But before we do it, my kind of closing thought, and maybe this actually ties together some of the things we talked about a little bit, but I hope that I really like what you said about the memes, right? Like, where do these memes come from? And a lot of times they come from they say pain is the best teacher. And like the Mt. Gox thing, like, dude, that was an unbelievably horrific experience for so many people as well. And it's different than this one. I'm not going to say it was like the same thing or anything. It was not the same thing at all. But I don't know. I guess I'm hoping that this becomes a catalyst for some changes to Bitcoin culture. Maybe this is a reminder for people to stay a little bit more humble. Whether that be when you're recommending your favorite Bitcoin products, to remember that, hey, even some really smart computer programming devs who you just assumed had reviewed all this code and maybe even had reviewed all this code missed something. And that is always going to be a risk for a lot of different things, not just Bitcoin, not just Cold Card. And with the BIP110 thing too, it's like, I've heard a lot of people kind of say like, oh, well, I didn't think this was actually going to become a hard fork. This was supposed to be a soft fork. Like, how did we end up here? And it's kind of like, there were a lot of people explaining this about how this was going to actually play out, like technically. And it seemed like a lot of the arguments that people had were very not technical arguments. They were more just venting about how Bitcoin culture wasn't what it used to be or something like that. And that really is fine to complain about. And in a lot of ways, I actually share a lot of the sentiments about how Bitcoin culture does need to change and how I would hope that it goes in a slightly different direction. But you know, this isn't how you play the game. You don't just make changes to Bitcoin and hard fork Bitcoin every time that you have a complaint about the culture. Like that's not the right solution for the problem. It doesn't really even solve any of the things that they were talking about. Yeah.
It's not a viable path.
But yeah, so I don't know. You know, even myself, right? Like I feel humbled by a lot of the stuff that's been going on. And, just remembering that there's a lot of things out there that I don't fully understand. And I just need to remember that, in a world where you're trying to be an actual sovereign individual, you know, it becomes my responsibility to do this for myself.
Exactly, man. So if you want to, have the most influence over what is consensus as an individual as possible, that means that you have to participate maximally, right? If you have the ability to run a node and connect that node to your wallet and actually use it to facilitate your transactions and verify and shit, that connect, actually use your node, not just run one. Connect your node to your wallet. Find a way to do some hashing. Find a way to earn Bitcoin. Find a way to spend Bitcoin. Use Bitcoin in all the ways that you can. Participate in all the ways that you can. Then the aggregate of all of us doing this is what Bitcoin is. That's what consensus is.
All right, man. Yeah, hopefully, you know, I have a feeling that in the upcoming weeks and months, there's going to be a lot of Bitcoin meetup organizers, you know, facilitating a lot of these discussions. So hopefully hearing it here gets your mind, you know, even if you don't, maybe you totally disagree with the way Rev and I are framing it, and that's totally fine. But hopefully it gets your gears turning, because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of these conversations happening, and a lot of those conversations are going to be happening at Bitcoin meetups. So if we don't say it enough, get to your local Bitcoin meetup. Let other people know what is your opinion. What do you think about all these topics? Go out there and share, because if we're talking that this about the aggregate of all of our, you know, knowledge and skills and abilities, well, you got to get out there and share it. That's how you form the aggregate. So get to your local meetup. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, propagate it in the most decentralized way, which is the Bitcoin meetups. That was the failure, was the centralized pipeline of the propagation of the cultural capital. That was the weakness, the chink in the armor that allowed this attack to happen. Whether you believe that this was malicious or not, you know, that cold card got into everyone's hands through that centralized pipeline of information. And we don't have to repeat that. We can share information in a different way now.
All right. What do you think? Should we transition to the value for value section of the show?
Let's get back to it. It's been so long before we've...
Optimistic vibes.
Man, there's been a lot of activity. It's been 3 weeks since we read any boosts, I think. And, you know, I don't know what the leaderboards have been doing, but we can talk about that. Yeah, let's get into what the community's been up to.
Yeah, this was a little bit of a dark cloud episode maybe, but this is going to brighten everything up. That's why I'm glad we're closing out with the value for value section. So, just like Rev was saying, dude, so much has happened, and I'm trying to remember exactly, because we haven't really talked about the boosts in either of the two episodes that aired last week, but even just right when we were still recording, I believe it came in while we were recording. You know, we got a new biggest boost that we've ever received on the show. And it's a pretty insane amount of sats. And I think as we start hitting the leaderboards here, it's going to become very clear what was going on. So why don't we start off with our top episodes leaderboard? And so this is our leaderboard that we like to talk about to say, you know, we're up to, I think we're coming out with episode 24 already. So we've got a little bit of a backlog here. If you wanted to start from the beginning and work your way all the way up to 24, if you're new here, that would be fantastic. And I still think that there's a lot of value out there in a lot of our previous episodes. But that's a big ask. And so if you don't know where to start, maybe you could consider checking out our top episodes of all time. So let's start at the top. So our number one episode of all time, and we measure this in sats because sats are the standard and that's how we're going to measure value. And so we decided that's how we're going to measure our top episode. And so the episode that's received the most sats is, of course, episode 15 with BTC Russell. And so episode 15, of course, was our discussion. We talked a lot about privacy. We talked a lot about the title of the episode is Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell. And BTC Russell really got this thing started off where he, during the episode, let everyone know that he was going to be donating his split, because we give all our guests a 1/3 split. He wanted to donate his 1/3 split to the Samurai developers. And so that was obviously very generous of him. Rev and I talked a little bit about it after the show, and we said, look, we think all of the sats from episode 15 should be going to the Samurai developers. So we didn't have our splits set up that way. All of our boost bots run through my node, which requires some sats to hit it. That's the trigger point that triggers a lot of the things that are going on. And so what we did is we left our splits in place, and we always said our first episode back after Lake Satoshi, we're going to be tallying up all the sats that we've received on episode 15 and donating those in one big lump sum to cover the sats from myself, from Rev, and the little bit also that came in for the for our value for value bucket that we use. So we're going to tally all those up. I don't actually have the tally right here right now. But the other thing that we talked about doing is as soon as I do the count and come up with that number, which I'll announce the number next week when our episode next week. But right when we do that calculation, we're going to make a switch, and we're going to take the time to fix the boost bots. We'll drop down, so we're only receiving 1%, which is, I think, like the lowest cut. It's just like a weighted value of 1 out of 100. And we'll take that 1, and that'll drive the boost bots. And all the other sats are just going to go automatically from here on out to the Samurai developers. Maybe it would have been easier for us to do that a long time ago, but that's what we're going to do going forward.
Well, yeah, this is the small and slow solutions at play. We don't know, you know, how people are going to break our games. And this is one example of breaking the game. But what's cool about this is, guys, is that, so if you've been thinking about donating to Samurai, sure, you can find a way. You go search, find a way, find that address, send them some Bitcoin. That's cool. But if you do it through us, now you can get extra value because you can attach to your boost, information about a meetup that you're doing, information about a product, information about a song, information about a long form article, information about whatever the hell you want. You know, you can just, but now there's information that you can propagate through your donation. And that's what the 1% does, is it gives the value that you can propagate out.
And so this was a big long lead up, and it deserves a big long lead up, because the sat total for episode 15 is now up to 2,382,590 sats, which is so far and away above the second highest episode that on our stats page, I had to have Claude put a little breaker into our bar chart because it was so skewed for just the one episode. So we'll be talking about it later, but you know, we got a 2.1 million sat boost for episode 15. And so we're going to talk all about that once we get there. So this is your first taste of it at our top episodes, and this is the first time you're going to hear about it. But yeah, that's how episode 15 has this massive breakout lead. And it's the incentives, right? This is, you know, look, it's, we don't get normal boosts like this because, again, we're the value in this particular case, the value is going to the Samurai developers, you know, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say those guys probably provided more value to the industry, to the ecosystem, you know, than the Local Bitcoiners podcast has, at least so far. And so those sats are going to Bill and Keon, and we're really happy to be able to facilitate that, the transfer of value. And we thank you for doing it through the show, because now we get to continue talking about you, and we'll get to know this donor. We're going to talk about that later on. So let's move on to our second highest episode of all time, which is episode 2 with GC and James from Jersey City. That episode is up to 153,591 sats, which is also still a huge total. Episode 2, always a classic. It's been on the leaderboards for a long, long time. Episode 3 on the list, this one, a lot of big movement here too, was episode 20, right? So that was with the Chicago Bitcoin Collective guys. That's with John, Foyce, and Brady. And that episode is already up to number 3 at 148,781 sats. So huge episode. The Chicago scene really showing up strong. That episode too, we have a stats page. And that episode is way up there in terms of the episodes that have received the most number of supporters. It's got 25 different supporters sent sats to episode 20. So just everybody kind of came out strong. You know, and that episode's not very old, right? That's one of our more recent episodes. So tons of support for the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. The fourth place on our top episodes leaderboard is episode 14. That was our episode with SourceNode. The title of that one is Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode from Greenville, South Carolina. And finally, in fifth place, we've got episode 9 with Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City. Growing slow, build strong communities. Talking about the KC Bitcoiners. Talk a lot about the value for value stuff. That was maybe a big show for us in a lot of different ways, where we're coming up. Spencer's really been helpful to us as we're finding our way through this podcasting 2.0 stuff, trying to figure out what all the successes and in some cases failures have been, for what all the lessons that have been learned from the podcasting 2.0 crowd over the last many years. So I'm glad that one's still on the leaderboard in fifth place.
So just as an aside there, I did get to meet Spencer at Lake Satoshi.
Awesome.
And man, we had a good time. It was very interesting dynamic, you know, because he had, 4 kids with him that he had to do solo because, DeLorean, his wife, had just given birth to their new baby. And so it was too soon. She couldn't come along to help wrangle the kids. And so, we never had a great opportunity to like really dive deep in anything, but I can't say enough like how cool it is to just like meet somebody that's been on the show, somebody that we've looked up to for so long, and continue to learn. So just a shout out to Sir Spencer there. I'm sure he's probably listening, and you know, it was cool to meet you, man.
I know, man, just so many, like I was mentioning before, Lake Satoshi. I think that's all the FOMO I had for that event was the opportunity to meet so many people who have been part of the show, whether guests or key, you know, supporters or people who've been sending us all the boosts. I knew so many of those people were going to be there, and it was just such a bummer. I missed out on my opportunity to meet all these people in person. So would have been great to meet Spencer. I'm sure I really hope we'll find an opportunity to touch base at some point.
It's going to be Nakamotown, man.
There you go.
Nakamotown. Sir Spencer said it's happening. Yet? It's happening whether Augie wants it to or not. So,
but Augie does Sir want Spencer, it to happen, doesn't he?
Well, whether he can actually, you know, put it together and market it, it sounds like it's going to happen. I can't
Have
remember
they
the
floated
date.
Floated dates yet?
Sir Spencer, he told me the exact date. There is a date. And I can't remember.
We're going to have to we'll have to convince one of them to send us a boost so we can read it out on the show. We'll see if we can get some more info.
I believe it's in October though. I think it's in October.
Okay. All right. Let's get to our second leaderboard. So these are our top listeners. These are our ride or dies. This is our core group. These are people that we all, know and love who've been sending us stats. They've boosted the most number of episodes. So this list, the order is a little bit different. So there are maybe some shakeups going on here, but first place, we've got Permanerd. Herm Nerd in first place with 23 episodes. So he's perfect 23 out of 23. Perm Nerd, if you guys don't know, he does the Yada podcast with Oshi. Another great listen. And, they're one of our kind of, closer relatives here in the Nosterverse as far as podcasts go. So we love to share a little bit of a stage with those guys. We've had a lot of different crossover back and forth with boosts going both ways, and we love to talk about their show. So thank you, Perm Nerd, for the support. We love talking about you on our show. And then second place is Admin Pac-Man. So Admin Pac-Man, the last time we read off boosts, we had Admin Pac-Man had been sending a whole string. He was going through every episode. I can't remember the number of sats, but it was the same sats every episode. Bam, 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 bam. We were going through, and a lot of them didn't have notes, but he's playing the game, right? And we're going to be talking more about Admin Pac-Man, but he's up to 22 episodes, and he's in second place. And then tied for third place, we've got Matthew D. Of course, Matthew D, showing love, always been a huge supporter of the show, 21 episodes. And tied for third place with Matthew D is Noster Gang. So Noster Gang is another case where we saw, at least at one point, Noster Gang was going back, listening to some of the old episodes. We kept getting boosts in from hearing, you know, feedback on some of the older episodes that we hadn't read off in a little while from Noster Gang. So all the way up to 21 episodes.
Working her way up, you know. Hell yeah. I think she's looking for that top spot. She wants to be number one.
There we go. Yeah, we're getting real close now. So up to 21. So thank you to our core group. And, you know, we look forward to interacting with you guys more and getting to know you more. You know, we had an opportunity to have Matthew D on the show. And twice. So, you know, maybe, you know, that's true with the community roundtable. That's yeah. Right.
Matthew
Absolutely.
D has his own episode. What did we call it? The Midwest Megalopolis or something?
Oh, right. Yes.
Michigan Megalopolis. Yes. I don't remember.
Yep.
Sorry, Matthew D. I don't even remember the name of your episode. But yeah, it was, that was a great show. And then he showed up again for the Michigan Roundtable, where we had the whole kind of yep. aggregate of the Grand Rapids scene talking. And you Matthew D and I, we talked about working some deals out at Lake Satoshi. And you know, I left with, he had some tallow balm for me.
Oh, nice.
And some soap. And actually, another guy, Mr. X, he had listened to the episode we recorded with Matthew D, and I mentioned that, you know, I don't use so much soap, and he felt bad for me, and he thought maybe I should use more soap. And so Mr. X actually bought a bar from Matthew D and gifted it to me, so I wouldn't be so stinky.
Awesome.
So I appreciate that, Mr. X, if you're listening.
Awesome. Yeah, you're looking real, real clean. I can tell already you're
squeaky
glowing.
Clean.
No. but yeah, you know, so hopefully, you know, we see you guys, you know, like I said, you're a core group. So hopefully we'll find ways to have crossovers and do other things. And, you know, we like hanging out with you guys. You're part of the core group. So thank you very much for your support. All right. So that brings us to our final leaderboard, which is, our top boost of all time. And here's really where we get to find out about Admin Pac-Man. And so this boost, it's probably going to be the first boost that we read off when we get to the boost section. But you get to hear it here first on the leaderboards, because our leaderboards, the way we do this last one, is the biggest boost the show has ever received. We read those, the top five ones off every week. And so if you happen to get onto the top five leaderboard, whatever boost note you send us, you know, we're going to read that off until somebody overtakes your spot. And you're off the top five list. So, you know, some people are using that to advertise their products or their brands. Some people are using it to advertise their, like regional meetups, right? We had Bitcoins for Everyone was on here for a really long time. But then other people just want to say thank you or have some other message. So our number one boost of all time, and as we've been alluding to here, is 2.1 million sats. And that was via our website. And that went to episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell. And the message says, for the devs, code is speech. Admin Pac-Man, pacmansarcade.org. Your Bitcoin time starts now with a hourglass emoji. And so that's it. So that's our biggest boost of all time from Admin Pac-Man. And, you know, it's a real banger. And so we're really pumped. We're so excited now to tally up all these sats and get these over to Bill and Kian. And we're very grateful that, Admin Pac-Man, that you decided to use our show to facilitate that. And we love the fact that we get to talk about, we'll be talking about this boost. We'll be talking about you for a long, long time on the show, because that's what we do with the leaderboards. All right. Second place.
Yeah, thank you, Admin Pac-Man, for that boost. You know, that
absolutely.
That's a big contribution. You know, that's going to make a difference, a real difference in somebody's life. You know, where those sats are going, those people will be able to use that, in a real way. It's not just $5, man. That's a big deal. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to what I was saying before too about, you know, I realized that when we put together these leaderboards, it seems like, you know, maybe we're tooting our own horn here, right? We're trying to brag about how popular our show is or something like that, but that's really not what this is about. And I think when it comes to episode 15 specifically, like I said, I feel honored that people would trust us to make sure that this transfer happens, and to want to be part of our community in such a big way, that it's worth it to donate the sats through us. So that way you can be part of the community here. And so it means a lot to us. And I hope it means a lot to Bill and Kian as well.
And this is also a way for it never to be forgotten. Every episode, we're going to be talking about Samurai. You know, we're never going to forget that these guys were attacked by the system, doing everything that they thought was by the book. And that's propagation of cultural capital right there. You can't forget these things. If you forget them, then you're subject to the same thing happening over. This is history repeating itself, right? This is how permanent culture gets developed, is through the continuous propagation of that cultural capital.
All right. So let's get through the rest of the biggest episodes of all time leaderboard. So second place, we've got 300,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. This was a show level boost, so it didn't go towards any particular episode, but that's from Sovereign. And their message is, Sovereign is the geek squad for Bitcoiners and Bitcoin companies. Come check us out at sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N. Thanks, Rev and Reed. And then third place is also Sovereign, and also from the website. And this one went to episode 15. So another humongous boost coming in for episode 15 from Sovereign. And Sovereign's message on this one is, Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for helping keep the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Fourth place, we've got BTC Jackalope coming in with 105,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And this was on episode 2. Meetups are the ultimate web of trust, Jersey City, New Jersey. And that was with GC and James. His message is, escape to the Listing Loft Cabin in Wilmington, Vermont, a modern two-bedroom retreat featuring signature vinyl record listening loft, luxury bedding, and a peaceful deck. Perfect for skiing at Mount Snow or a relaxing getaway. Pay in Bitcoin and get 20% off. Visit listeningcabin.com for more information. Well, thank you, BTC Jackalope. And I haven't had a chance to catch up with him recently on this, but I hope, you know, maybe somebody's actually been checking it out. We'll see. I mean, it's a lot more popular in the winter times because it's right near a big ski resort in Vermont. But yeah, if you haven't checked it out yet, go visit listeningcabin.com. See if you can figure out how to pay in Bitcoin and get a big discount. And finally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Finally, our next biggest boost of all time is 100,000 sats from Sovereign. It says, here's what I'm thinking. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. And that was on SourceNodes episode 14, Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture. So thank you again to all our supporters. Let's see.
A little note about Sovereign. Because I don't know if they're going to come up in the boosts. I'm trying to, like, in my mind, not say too much if it's going to come up again, and we're just going to reiterate ourselves. But Sovereign, if you go listen to the Becoming Sovereign podcast through this whole cold card thing, it sounds like Brandon was there for a lot of the people that were, you know, utilizing Sovereign. He was very attentive and helpful to an extreme degree, getting people the information they needed to avoid any loss of funds. And so
Super important role to play.
You know, you once again, verify, you think for yourself on this shit, you know, when it comes to, if you want to trust Sovereign with this, you know, when you need help, looking for help with Bitcoin. But go listen to the podcast with Brandon, Becoming Sovereign, and see how the story that he tells, man, of what they went through in order to help everybody through this. It was pretty impressive.
Have they released a pod to talk about that? Because I know they've got the podcast too. They have? Okay.
Yeah. So it was Brandon doing kind of like a solo rip on, you know, everything that this, just the whole chain of events and what his process was for dealing with it all.
Yeah. It makes me actually, let me look. So let's see if that episode is in our, so we've got our community feeds. And so if anyone has boosted that episode, it would show up in our podcast feed because they are part of our community. But I'm not organized enough here to be able to go through this whole list right now to see if I can find it. Scrolling quickly, I don't see it. So yeah, but go check out Sovereign's the Becoming Sovereign podcast. The other thing I wanted to do before we leave, I know it's not exactly part of the leaderboards, but we like to give some other shout out to the streamers. We actually have a new number one streamer of all time measured in sats, and that's Stacy. Stacy has streamed us 20,620 sats. And so that was a big, I can't exactly remember when it was coming in, but it may have been kind of a really heavy, like stream of one or two episodes that came in and over 20,000 sats. So thank you so much, Stacy. We see you. Thank you for streaming us sats, streaming us value. And then some of our other top supporters are still right up in here. Logs is over 16,000 sats streamed to us all time via Fountain. Club to Polymath is over 10,000 sats now via Fountain. Chad F is on this list. He's streamed us over 9,000 sats on Castomatic. So if you go to our localbitcoiners.com website and go to our stats page, you can see our top 10 streamers are all listed here. So go check that out and you can see our streamers. And then also just to shout out real quick, we've got our top zappers as well. And so the funny story here, a little bit of a funny story. So our top zapper right now of all time is Local Bitcoiners, our own podcast. And the way that happened was during the last, you know, cause we do the 21K sat giveaways for promoting meetups, and I zapped the wrong note. I zapped the note that came, the sats came straight back to us because I zapped the note that's on our website, which is published by us. What I needed to do was zap. I can't remember. This one might have been permanent. I can't remember who won the last one, but yeah. And so it's like, oh no, I got the sats back immediately. And so had to go give another zap to Permanerd to make sure that he got those. But, technically speaking, Local Bitcoiners is now our top zapper with 22,163 sats.
Well, you know, that most people, when they make Bitcoin transactions, it's to themselves.
There you go.
That's the number one Bitcoin transaction that anyone makes is sending sats to yourself. So we have to follow in suit and zapping ourselves.
Zapping ourselves, right. But also up on this list, of course, Cleveland Bitcoin. We've talked about them for a long time. Ahi sent us a huge zap, 21,000 sat zap. And so Ahi, that puts you actually right into the next tier level of supporter, because the zaps count too towards on our supporters page. And then we've got Paul and Tim, and we've got some other smaller zaps. So, the top zap leaderboard, you know, we do shout these folks out, as you can tell right now. So, if you want to get on here, we've got three over 21,000, but one of those is us. So if you wanted to get into the top three, all you have to do is get over 2,100 sats and you're there. But all right. So I think that's most of the leaderboard stuff. Before we go to the boosts, did you want to talk about featured meetups?
Yeah. I think that we haven't been, this is about the ask a lot of times, right? You know, we have to keep reminding everybody to participate in this way. And granted, I've been on vacation myself. I guess it was time for everyone to be on vacation. I haven't put any new meetups on our site, either on Noster or whatever. Anyways, people have been using it though, a few. And so we can spin the wheel and zap, the winner 21K sats for featuring their meetup on localbitcoiners.com.
So we, before the recording today, Rev and I talked about another little wrinkle here, because Rev and I are both, we like to use the tools, right? We actually want to feature meetups. Sometimes there are our own meetups, but, we've been actually promoting. What I think we're going to do is maybe each episode, Rev and I are also going to pick an event to feature. And so we'll go through the list of, events, you know, from folks in the community, and we'll feature one of them. And so, we have each chosen one to feature. And so the one I chose was, Clay Seal's meetup, and he's of course Cincinnati, and Clay's been on the show. And so they have a meetup coming up Wednesday, September 2nd, Cincinnati Bitcoin. And it's how silent payments make Bitcoin more private. And so that was my choice, to feature on our website. And Rev, you, boosted an episode from Jordy. So this is from, Jordy, from our friend in, Barcelona. And he had posted the Free Cities Conference 2026, Prospera, Step Inside. And that's Thursday, September 3rd from Thursday, September 3rd at noon, all the way through Sunday, September 6th at 8 p.m. And that's, of course, in Prospera. And so those are the ones that we submitted. But, of course, we did have other folks participate, and that would be Battersea Bitcoiners. So Battersea Bitcoiners, they promoted their meetup, which is coming up Wednesday, August 19th, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., Little Bianca. And I believe that's in the UK. And WitSixer coming in and featuring the Cleveland Bitcoin monthly meetup, Friday, August 14th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Wild Eagle Saloon, Streetsboro, Ohio. So those are our four meetups. And the little wrinkle that we decided to put into this is, previously when Rev or I would feature a meetup, or if it was our own meetup or something like that, we would just kind of cross ourselves off the list. But instead, what we're going to do is we're going to spin the wheel. And if one of our featured meetups gets the win, we're going to donate those sats to the organizer of the event.
Well, the key here is that we are not the ones, the meetups that we're featuring, we're not the ones creating those events. Somebody else created this event.
Other people's events.
We see a cool event that somebody in the community created, and we're going to select that to get in this wheel. So if you don't want to boost it or whatever, you just put your event on Noster. If we like it, you know, we might feature it, and then it will get into this wheel, so you can get 21K sats.
All right. So I've got the wheel. We use Wheel of Names. And so we've got the names in here, and I am going to spin the wheel.
Shout out to Jacob for letting us
know for the recommendation
about this, you know, from Indianapolis.
Absolutely. And oh my gosh, it's right. Oh my God, it's so close to the line. But the winner is the Free Cities Conference. So that means Jordy. So we will be reaching out. What I'll do is hopefully zap the correct note this time. and I will be zapping the note there that shared the meetup for the meetup in Prospera for the Free Cities Conference. So there you go. Congratulations, Jordy. And we will be reaching out with 21,000 sats are coming your way. So congratulations. And you can thank Rev for featuring your meetup.
Yeah, you know, that Prospera in Honduras there is an interesting, it's a place I've got my eye on. You know, they've got the Free Cities podcast, which is fairly interesting. You know, I don't listen to every, I can't say that I listen to every single one, but when a title catches my eye, I check it out. And my favorite one recently was with my friend Polycarp is on the Free Cities podcast talking about these archipelago nodes, which is pretty cool. But let's get into the boosts. And so as we've been building it up throughout the whole episode, the first boost we have is from Admin Pac-Man, and that's for 2,100,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. For the devs, code is speech, scales emoji, orange heart emoji, Admin Pac-Man, paxarcade.org, your Bitcoin time starts now, hourglass emoji. And that was on episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell, Columbia, South Carolina. And man, oh man, Admin Pac-Man, you got some skin in the game there. Looking forward to hearing more from you later on. Next, we got 500 sats via localbitcoiners.com from PlebinFlow. Great show, guys. Every time I hear the intro music, I hear that person vocalizing and picture it being Rev Hodel in his garden barefoot. He's donning a pair of multi-pocketed khaki shorts and no shirt in the Midwestern sunshine. The obligatory tambourine at the ready. There's probably a joint somewhere. Not sure why. Thought I'd share. And that was just a boost to the show in general. And you know, PlebinFlow, I've been waiting for so long for someone to recognize the intro music, because when I wanted to start this podcast before I knew Reed and everything, I had kind of was playing some little intro jigs on my guitar and singing along with it, just recording it with my phone. And, when Reed and I were starting the podcast, he's like, well, what are we going to do for this and that? I was like, well, I've got some intro music that I've already recorded when I wanted to try and do this podcast previously. And we've just used that from the beginning. So it's me singing, with my guitar recorded through my phone, like the most provably non AI thing you can imagine. No sound library or nothing, but you know, this is an opportunity now. Finally that somebody's pointed it out, and that PlebinFlow, I'm so grateful for you to bring it up. If anybody wants to take a stab at doing an intro jingle for us, that's a way to do some value for value, you know.
Time, talent, treasure.
You know,
let's
go. If we can change it up, and have something not recorded on my phone and me just in my khaki shorts with my joint in my garden playing the music, we're cool with that. We can try something else. So awesome, PlebinFlow. Yes, that is me playing my guitar, singing along. And, you know, your depiction is pretty accurate.
Painted a nice picture.
It's amazing.
What you can craft with your words, right?
How that music, you know, paints a picture. He got it. He pretty much nailed it. Next, we got 1,033 sats via fountain from Jim Seifert. Very cool. A Bitcoin bar and grill, pub, restaurant, and town hall. We need more of that. Some sats for the causes, smiley face. Hashtag smidge, hashtag zapped, hashtag grow noster. And that was on Chicago Bitcoin Collective, episode 20, with John, Foyce, and Brady. And man,
yeah, and Jim,
the Chicago Bitcoin Collective is, I'm going there, not this week, but next week, I think, again. And I'll be there actually, sorry, Reed, just another thing. The Chicago Bitcoin Collective is having this value for value summit, and I will actually be presenting, the 9 forms of capital there. in Chicago. You're going to hear how this value for value stuff works in tandem with the nine forms of capital. There's going to be a value for value concert with Scardust headlining at a local venue. And then amazing food by Foy's. Anyways, what were you going to say?
Yeah, man, that's another event that I'm having some serious FOMO for. I have a little bit of a work conflict that week, but, I'm going to be, I don't know. I would like to see if I could find a way to make it out to that. That also sounds like an amazing event and a place where the local Bitcoiners podcast and scene would fit right in, because we do talk so much about value for value, and we've both been on this value for value kind of journey into podcasting. So a lot of our friends and people who have supported the show, I'm sure, will be out that way as well. So definitely feeling the FOMO for that event as well.
Well, and another thing is, like, it's small. It's naturally capped by the size of the venue. So it's a small event. The tickets aren't expensive. They're not cheap, but they're worth it with what you get involved. I'm speaking at the event, but I bought a ticket. You know, I paid to go to do it. And so, you're going to be in a crowd of, like, high signal folks, you know.
It's sick.
It's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited for
it. And I was just going to say too about, Jim Seifert here is he's a big supporter of the Yada podcast, and he's always boosting them. You know, it seems like every episode, and, he's big into the hashtags. And so we've got the three hashtags. SMIJ is Jim S backwards. I learned that. I think, those guys on that podcast put that together. I don't know if I would have noticed that immediately, but there you go. So thank you, Jim Seifert, for participating over here.
Jim's been my homie on Noster for a long time. We've been interacting through the permaculture and gardening shit for a long time. So thanks, Jim. Hell yeah. Next, we got 100 sats via localbitcoiners.com from our friend Admin Pac-Man. Infinity divided by 21 million Bitcoin sign. And that's for the Great Lakes Megalopolis. Oh, it was the Great Lakes Megalopolis. That's what the name was. Great Lakes Megalopolis with Matthew D, Ann Arbor, Michigan, episode 21. The iconic episode 21, Matthew D got that one. Next, we got 333 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Perminerd. Another interesting and informative podcast. Matthew D sounds like a gentleman and a scholar. You guys are making me jealous that I don't live in the Midwest. Keep up the good work. Hashtag yada. And that was for the Great Lakes Megalopolis with Matthew D, Ann Arbor, Michigan, episode 21.
Thank you,
Perminerd. It sounds like Perminerd's getting to his local meetups, man. And, you know,
he has been.
It is what you make it, you know, that nobody came and dictated that Michigan was going to have a sweet Bitcoin meetup scene. It was just the aggregate of all of our own actions to make it happen. And so you want to do it, you can take the reins and do something, you know, everybody can. And if you do, it turns out like Michigan, it seems like. Pretty cool. Next, we got 250 sats via Fountain from Clay Seal. Thanks for the great work in Columbus. Looking forward to getting up to see you guys at some point. And that was on Recording the Revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19. And so it sounds like Clay from Cincinnati is gearing up to go hang out with Shannon. And the meetup cross-pollination is activated, you know, thanks to local Bitcoiners. We're connecting the meetups together. We're propagating this cultural capital through a decentralized means and not through a central pipe, so that way we can be more resilient.
Let's go.
Next we got 5,000 sats via Boost Me Bitch. And that was for Upping Your Meetup Game with Steve Scott and Tally, Louisville, Kentucky, episode 18. And so I don't know, no person associated with that boost, but all right, Louisville, Kentucky appreciates the sats as much as we do. Thanks for participating. Next, we got 500 sats via Fountain from Battersea Bitcoiners. Great episode, guys. All right. So let me pause right here. I read this boost. It was this boost came in 19 days ago.
Yes,
and I read it and I was like, I have to practice this shit.
Practice
on my game? I did not fucking practice. Okay. So you guys, I haven't,
here we go.
I read this boost. I know what's coming, but I haven't practiced, and I'm going to fucking rip it right now. All right. So. Great episode, guys. Give this one a go, Rev. Red, Lori, yellow, Roy, Lori, red, Lori, yellow, Lori, Irish, Irish, wristwatch, watch, Irish, wrists, rock, fresh, French, fried, fly, fritters. Love, Ollie from Battersea Bitcoiners. All right, let me know how I did on that. I did not practice.
That's your money's worth out of that one. That
Holy was awesome. Shit. Great boost. and that was on Local Bitcoiners, Great Lakes, Megalopolis with Matthew D, Ann Arbor, Michigan, episode 21. Thanks for hanging with us, Battersea Bitcoiners. Let's keep having fun. You know, love that. Love that shit. Next, we got 3,000 sats.
I remember when that one came in, I sent it to you right away. I was like, oh man, dude, you're going to have fun with this one. But yeah, that was, cause we kept, or both of us really, but I think we made a big deal out of it because you were always struggling with saying the locations for the meetups and stuff like that in other countries. And he's like, yeah, I got you, buddy.
Well, I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you make a tongue twister of a boost. And so he took me up on it.
So you got one.
And dude, I had a long time to prepare for that. I could have like really nailed it. And you know, I didn't take the opportunity. So it was fun either way. Next, we got 3,000 sats, via Fountain, from an NPUB. And it's good to be reminded that running a meetup takes money and not take it for granted. Thanks for the episode. And that's for Recording the Revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19.
And that NPUB, I believe, is Logs.
Is it Logs? Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say it was one of the indie guys. Yeah, man, it was a great time meeting you, Logs. And, you know, we found a chance to bump into each other a lot over there at Lake Satoshi, even though everyone was kind of so isolated from the rain and everything. So, and the conversations that we have, it's like Logs is on to something. And keep an eye out for what Logs is doing because he's working. I think that Logs is going to be putting out some cool shit coming forward. Next, 5,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Whit Sixer. Michigan has a great Bitcoin culture. A few of us Cleveland Bitcoin members have been up to Lake Satoshi and had a blast. I can't make it this year, but others from the group are going. By the way, I lived in Wise Hall back in 1995 as a freshman at Eastern Michigan and got to experience the glorious defeat of the team from up north as Colorado and Cordell Stewart beat them with a Hail Mary. I made sure everybody in that dorm heard my cheers. Go Buckeyes. ClevelandBitcoin.com. Go check out our website at ClevelandBitcoin.org. Or I'm sorry, at ClevelandBitcoin. Check out our website at ClevelandBitcoin.org. And that was on the Great Lakes Megalopolis with Matthew D. Ann Arbor, episode 21. And this boost is really important because I wasn't sure if I met with Sixer at Lake Satoshi. I was kind of like, you know, talking with Biddish a lot. And I was wondering if there's other Cleveland people kicking around. And I talked to a lot of folks. And I was like, I wonder if Whit Sixer just like never told me it was him. And I talked to him. But apparently he wasn't there. So I thank you for confirming that I did not meet you at Lake Satoshi, Whit Sixer.
And I was wondering, I feel like I'm, you know, an outsider here and not really into all these things, but this seemed like we're still going with the Ohio Michigan, rivalry talk. Is that's what this is alluding to, I assume?
It sounds like it. Yeah.
It sounds
keep
like
going,
it to
guys.
Me too.
You know, whoever's getting a kick out of it, you guys can play the game, this little sub, mini quest within the boosts and
Ohio Michigan.
We'll play
Let's
along.
Go.
Yeah. Next, we got 1,237 sats via Fountain from God's Death. Thank you, gentlemen. And that was on Great Lakes Megalopolis with Matthew D, Ann Arbor, episode 21. Thanks, God's Death, keeping up the boosting. And God's Death, I think, his value is going to show up in the podcast, feed on the website. You're going to see God's Death contribution on there. He's not just boosting our show. He's boosting lots of shows and you can find the signal that God's Death is consuming over there.
And you skipped over one, by the way, and it's a good
Did
one.
I?
So you're going to want to back up one from Bullish Clips.
I missed it. Read it. It's not
on your page. So we the one it's showing on my screen here is 500 sats via Fountain from Bullish Clips. This was on episode 21, Local Bitcoiners, the Great Lake Megalopolis with Matthew D. Ann Arbor, Michigan. And his note is, hashtag TapeMySats supports importing, exporting products via NIP99. We'll be doing more testing now that y'all mention it. Sign up for the beta with the referral code LOCALBTC to support the show. Visit TakeMySats.com. So there you go. Thank you, Bullish. We appreciate the referral code. I'm not exactly sure what we get out of it, but appreciate the shout out nonetheless. And it is great to hear that you support exporting your products to NIP99 now, because we know a lot of our community members have stuff for sale on TakeMySats. And if they export those to NIP99, they'll show up in our community feeds, in our NIP99 community feed. So that's great to hear. Thanks, Bullish.
Yeah, super excited for the interoperability. What this means for the merchants, right? The people selling stuff, is that you put that product up in one place and it ends up everywhere. And if you're a participant, this is one thing. This also creates the incentives for participation, because in order to get on our website, all you got to do is hang out with us. That's it.
One boost.
You just have to build the social capital, right? Just boost us and participate. And then now you got access to marketing your stuff on our place, in our marketplace. You can come to the bazaar at localbitcoiners.com. Super cool stuff. And next we got an 888 sat boost via Fountain from Bullish Clips. And Bullish says, the bullish market loves the local Bitcoiners. Thanks for your support. Next event is Friday, August 21st at 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Save the date, book the link, and join us using Bitcoin as money. Join us in using Bitcoin as money. Bullishmarket.onrender.com.
I'm going to say you should refresh your page, because now you skipped like three.
Really?
So maybe while you refresh, and hopefully they'll all show up.
Okay.
If you want, I'll read off the next one. So there was another one, 1,000 sats from WitSixer. The boost was for meetups and podcasts of The Signal. That was all the way back in episode 3 with Boomer. It says, great episode. After listening to multiple episodes now, it's clear to me that every meetup across the world is a beacon of light, reminding me of the light towers being lit up in Lord of the Rings. We grow stronger with everyone. Adoption is clearly beginning to speed up. Well, thank you, WitSixer. And apparently you're going back and starting to boost some of the older episodes. So that's great. And hopefully you're finding what we've been saying, which is even our older episodes seem pretty timeless. So hopefully you still got some value there out of episode 3 with Boomer. The next one here was a boost from me, 420 sats. But in this particular case, the reason why I sent in a boost was to boost an article. And so just like how we have in our community feeds where you can feature a meetup, we also now have a feature where you can feature a long form article. And so what that means is sending boost to the show with a link to the article on Noster. And now it will show up at the top of our community feeds, on the localbitcoiners.com website. So the article that I boosted, was an article, and of course the boost preview doesn't have the name here. So let me just pull it up real quick. And so this article was by Jordan, and it's introducing Ashigaru desktop client version 1.0.0. So they released a long form article to talk about that. And I thought that's something that our community should probably, you know, be in the know on what's going on. So now that's featured on our website. And if you have a long form article that you think our community be interested in, you can go ahead and feature it the same way that you feature your meetup.
Man, yeah, those boosts are not there. So the next boost I see is from Pyrohawk. You still have one more between Bullish at 88 sat.
Yep, the only one other one that's showing up on my feed. And I think we're on the same page, so I'm not sure how there's a difference there. Maybe I'll have to I'll chat with Claude about that afterwards. This one, no message, 420 sats from Chad F and 33 others. And that was a show level boost. and via localbitcoiners.com. So thank you, Chad F. And now we got Pyrohawk. You want to pick it up from there?
Sure. Yeah, we got 100 sats via Fountain from Pyrohawk. It's surprisingly encouraging to hear someone doing something that started as a complete failure. Keep up the good work. And that was for the Great Lakes Megalopolis with Matthew D. Ann Arbor, Michigan, episode 21. And what Pyrohawk is referring to is in this episode, Matthew D. was explaining his journey in creating soap that he's selling at meetups via White Paper Street Soap Company. Like I said, at Lake Satoshi, I just loaded up on a big supply of soap. Thank you, Mr. X, for donating an extra bar to me. I'm going to use it. But yeah, so Matthew D. started off as a complete failure. He failed his first batch of soap, but he kept with it, and it's encouraging to Pyrohawk. It's encouraging to anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to get something done. You can't expect it to work out exactly right from the get go. You just gotta want it. That's the Joel Salatin phrase. If you want it, you got to really want it and just keep going. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going. And the next boost, we have 500 sats via Fountain from Matthew D. Thanks for having me on the pod, guys. And that was on Matthew D's episode, episode 21. Well, all right, Matthew D. It was great to hang out with you at Lake Satoshi. And it was really cool to hang out with you again at the round table with Jordan. With our episode with Jordan for Grand Rapids. Next, we got 101 sats via Fountain from Nostra Gang. Nostra Gang says, thank you, Shaka emoji. And I will say that I got a really cool shirt from Soul Exporter at Lake Satoshi. Did some value for value trade. I traded. So Soul Exporter did the logo for Local Bitcoiners. He did kind of some of our graphic design work. And so Reed has his daughter is making these custom one of shirts, painting on them with bleach that we have listed on our marketplace and everything. But so Soil Exporter was like, I want that shirt. That's my logo. That's super cool that someone hand painted it on there. And so I traded him one of our shirts. Well, I gave him the shirt, but then he gave me a shirt value back with, this symbol on it, with a hand symbol on it. And the hand symbol is if you hold your middle finger out and then you put the Shaka out at the same time. So it's your thumb, your middle finger, and your pinky out. The Shaka plus the middle finger, the hang loose plus the middle finger. That makes 21 in binary. Oh. And that is the most badass thing. And that's like the fucking coolest hand symbol you could think of is like the Shaka plus the middle finger.
That's awesome. I did not know that.
That also means 21 in binary. Super cool. So anyways, thank you, Nostra Gang, for letting me tell that story about Soul Exporter and his cool new hand symbol, which means 21. Next, we got 500 sats via Fountain from William the French. Awesome. As always, I need a primer on running a node. Can you suggest something? And that was Getting Lucky with Bitcoin Meetups, or Getting Lucky with Meetups, Jacob, Indianapolis, episode 22. Do you have any recommendations? Certainly, you shouldn't have a prescription for William the French on running a node. But do you have a recommendation?
Well, to that end, I'll explain what I do. And this is what I've chatted with my meetup about for running a node. I think you should take the time to learn how to flash an operating system. And you should get an off-the-shelf computer of some kind. I like the HP mini PCs. It certainly does not have to be those. And you follow the instructions. The instructions are very followable. If you need help, ask your friendly clanker. And, just load up, you know, I guess, you know, the ones that are the probably easiest to have, a lot of instructions available for would be Start9 and Umbral. And both of those you can just flash onto any old computer that you've got laying around. It could be a laptop, it could be a desktop. And so that's what I recommend doing. But there are lots of different ways that you can do it. So you could go poke around online, do a little research and figure out which one you think is the best one for you and maybe go with that. I use Start9 on a HP mini PC. That's what I use for a node. I run my Lightning node on LBHub. But again, there's lots of different ways you can do that.
And also, William, the French, like, you're asking for a primer on running a node. Okay, so you have to understand, there's reasons to run a node in the first place. In one, the node has everything. The reason why you run a node is for your own benefit. The node should be doing something for you. And what that thing is one, you don't trust anybody else to, when you get a Bitcoin transaction and when you send a Bitcoin transaction, to tell you that that happened. If you run your own node, you know that when you receive a Bitcoin transaction, it was a real Bitcoin transaction. And when you send one, it gets broadcast out. Second, the another reason to run a node is if you use somebody else's node, if you trust somebody else to say, when I receive a Bitcoin transaction, that's real Bitcoin. And when I send one, that actually gets broadcast out. What you also do is you give them visibility into a lot of information about your interaction with Bitcoin. And so if you run your own node, now that information stops at your node, and the only information that's going out is the transactions that you're receiving or broadcasting. And so the node is, one, important for to verify that you are actually using Bitcoin on the Bitcoin chain. Like, for example, if this BIP110 soft fork was closer, split down the middle, if it was more like 55-45, and you connect to a BIP110 node unknowingly, you don't want to, you're transacting on the chain that you don't want to be transacting on, or vice versa. If you believe in BIP110, but you don't have your own node, and you just connect to the random node that your wallet's doing, you're trusting that wallet to connect to the correct Bitcoin blockchain that you want. You run your own node, so that way you are connecting to the instance of Bitcoin that you want to participate in. And so that's why running a node is important. It's if you run a node and you're not moving any transactions through it, it's almost like actually a detriment to the network, beyond just like having literally like an archive of the history. Sure, that's fine. But you're just another peer that's not actually doing anything. You're just relaying stuff.
Yeah, when you run, you should be thinking about your node. And I really like the way, actually, this is the way Spencer characterizes it. And he is very big advocate of running a node. But it's important to understand why. Why are you running this node? And as he describes it, you are running your own personal bank and payment processor. And so, you know, that's the function that it's fulfilling. So if you're not using your bank and payment processor, yeah, running a node is, you know, it's some work. And if you're not benefiting from that in any way, then I'm not sure what the point is, but that's really what you're doing. When you decide you want to run a node, it's you're running your own local infrastructure, so you don't have to trust anybody else. And I'll just say, so, you know, I guess Rev, the page you're looking at continues to miss a whole bunch. So I've got a whole list queued up here.
Yeah, fill me in.
So let's go. So the first one is 1100 sats from Satspit. And Satspit says, "Hi guys, Satspit is finally up on localbitcoiners.com/feeds #market. So that would be on our community feed for our NIP99 marketplace. So we talked about that, and this was a boost to the Great Lakes Megalopolis with Matthew D, episode 21. And we talked about that a little bit. I don't remember if it was that episode specifically, but I'm really glad that you got that figured out, and we're happy to have you. Another one here was 500 sats from Sly Walker. No comment with Boost. This was getting lucky with meetups with Jacob from Indianapolis. Thank you, Sly Walker. Another one from Pyrohawk. So we had one from Pyrohawk. We got another one. This is 100 sats via Fountain, getting lucky with meetups with Jacob from Indianapolis. The message is, I think I'd have to say listening to this podcast was my first Bitcoin meetup experience. Thank you for the community and ideas that you're all sharing. Well, that's great to hear, Pyrohawk. And we're glad that you're receiving the messages, and hopefully, yeah, you go out and find your local meetup. And if you don't have one near you, start one. Maybe go find a meetup that's maybe a little bit outside of what you would like to do for a normal meetup driving distance. You know, maybe you got to drive a couple hours to find one, but go hang out, introduce yourself, find out if there are other people maybe in your area that want to get together and start a meetup. But yeah, it's great to hear that you like to hear what we have to say. And then another one was 1,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from admin Pacman. And so now we're starting to hear we got all those boosts in a row from admin Pacman with no message. Then we got the mega boost. And so now we've got 1,000 sats with a message. And this was on Getting Lucky with Meetups with Jacob from Indianapolis. And admin Pacman says, great show. Love hearing about the website features. Would love to talk more about the branding in a box. So yeah, we can talk more about that. Let's see. So I think it's possibly a little bit of a longer discussion. I'd love to talk about a new website that I started to put together called onlyboost.social. And that was really the meetup. And it's not necessarily a meetup in a box. It's more like a podcast in a box. Because every podcast that has at least one boost on Noster gets their own page. And it lists all their supporters and it lists all their boosts and all their episodes. It takes a lot of the features that we have on localbitcoiners.com and makes it applicable to everybody without anyone having to run any of the infrastructure here. The trade-off is that it's only Noster stuff. So, you know, if somebody's sending your show key send boosts, those don't show up. But still, you get to know your Noster community. And so, I think that maybe is what you're talking about. And so, yeah, that's something I'm going to try to continue to work on. And I'll be talking about that more on this other podcast I started with Chad F called Chad and Reed's Podcast. And so onlyboost.social, localbitcoiners.com, boost me bitch. Those are all different, podcasting 2.0 friendly, website solutions, that have interoperability with Noster in a way that we think makes the most sense. So we'll be continuing to talk about that here, and we'll be continuing to talk about that on this new podcast, Chad and Reed's Podcast. So you can check that out too.
Keep in mind, integrate rather than segregate. That's the...
Absolutely.
The branding in a box or whatever, that if the box is the if the box is a Lego piece that plugs into everything else, that is the magic, I think.
And I got three more here, Rev, until we catch up to your list.
Really?
Yeah, wow. So we've got 500 sats from Battersea Bitcoiners. Great episode as always. What wallet do you guys recommend to make the NWC connection easier? I have to remake mine every time from Primal. I'm wondering if I'm doing it inefficiently. Is there a better app? And that's on Getting Lucky with Meetups with Jacob from Indianapolis. I've noticed also, I've had trouble with the NWC connection from Primal. I haven't done any kind of a deep dive to find out if that's an issue with the Primal wallet or not. All of my NWC connections are back to my Albi Hub on my node. And Rev, you do most of yours, I think, through Minibits, right?
Well, yeah. So these are the wallets that I have used to varying levels of success with NWC, and that's Minibits, Primal, and Zeus. Those three wallets are ones that I use. And sometimes either any one of them doesn't work for whatever reason. The Revolution will have bad UX. I don't know what to say. But you just need a bunch of different choices to connect it. If you want it, you gotta really want it, right? If you want to participate in this culture, there is some friction there, and but hopefully the value is worth it all around. Doing the effort to send the sats along and then getting that value boomerang back into you via the value chain makes it all worth it for us to figure this out. Because if it's not worth it, we're not going to figure it out, right? We're never going to get there. We have to get there. So we got to use the shit. We got to make it happen.
the next one on the list here is 5,000 sats via fountain from Widsixer. And it says, hey, Indy, the beefsteak meetup sounds like a good time. Great idea for a way to get Bitcoiners together. Rev and Reed, you guys are building something special, and I'm glad I can watch it grow. A lot of good ideas here. By the way, that maybe Cleveland Bitcoin can implement into our website. So maybe that was talking about some of our website features. Not exactly sure, but that was on episode 22, Getting Lucky with Meetups. Jacob, well, thank you, Witsixer, and we appreciate all the boosts you've been sending us. Really glad to have you participating with a show like this, and it'd be great. I guess, you know, you didn't get to bump into Rev at Lake Satoshi, but hopefully we find ways to cross paths in the future. And the next boost here, the last one that I'll read and then I'll hand it back to you. This is another one from Witsixer. And this was on going back to episode 4, Cypherpunks Write Code, AI, Meetups, and the Meshdadel. We haven't talked about episode 4 in quite a long time. That was an episode with just Rev and I. But his message is the idea of Bitcoiners across the world and their local regions creating networks amongst other paralleling the settlers' westward expansion blew my mind. Love the Westerns, so I'm here for it. All right. Thank you again, Witsixer. And so with that, you read off William the French, and hopefully right. Your next boost on the list is another one from Witsixer.
I got 21,000 sats on the indie meet. Yeah, with no comment. Is there a Witsixer between William the French and that?
Yeah. We're going to have to figure out what's going on with the, I wonder if it's a mobile versus desktop thing. I'll have to look into it.
Who knows?
Apologies,
man,
for not listing all these where you're looking at it. But we got another 1,000 from Witsixer, and it says, this was on the meetup is the farmer's market, Kansas City, Missouri, episode 5. That one was on the leaderboards for a long time. It says, are you kidding me with this? I feel like Augie just caused every listener to have a light bulb pop over their heads. Wow. And that was talking about all the different ideas that Augie was sharing about how to bring the farmer's market to the meetup.
Okay, so next we got 21,000 sats via fountain with no comment.
Yep.
And that was on Getting Lucky with Meetups, Jacob, Indianapolis, episode 22. Well, thank you for 21K sats. That's cool. Big boost to the indie scene there too. Next, we got 693 sats via fountain from Shadrack. Really great chat. I love getting to know local Bitcoiners. Great work, guys. Keep meetups create entropy. Hashtag 40HPW. And that's on Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell, Columbia, South Carolina. And so Shadrack's been slowly catching up here.
And I'll fill in two more boosts that apparently are not in your feed, but are in mine. Another boost with no name attached for 21,317 sats via Boost Me Bitch. So no name, no message, but thank you for the boost. We appreciate it. And the next one is 420 sats via fountain from Undisciplined. And that was on episode 21 with Matthew D. It says, the need for more entropy applies to our 40HPW too.
Well, that was very
timely.
Prescient, you know, shit.
For sure.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was from 9 days ago.
That was from Undisciplined?
Yeah.
Undisciplined, you're tapped in, dude. Pay attention, man, because you are ahead of the curve on that one big time, buddy.
So the next one on my list is from Nostergang with Cypherpunks Write Code, AI Meetups in the Meshdadel. So look at that. Multiple people boosting episode 4. And I got Purple Heart, Orange Heart from Nostergang. What do you got next on your list?
Thanks for going back and listening to all of the old stuff, guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know,
I love talking about those old episodes.
The stuff is hopefully evergreen enough, you know, where you can go meander your way through and pick your favorite clickbait titles that we put out there and whatever attracts you, go listen to that. And the next one I have is from Noster Gang. 101 Sats Via Fountain, Purple Heart, Orange Heart on Cypher. That's episode 4. Okay, so we got that one. All right, so then after that, the next one I have is 5,000 Sats via localbitcoiners.com from WitSixer. Is that what you got?
That's what I got.
All right, here we go. WitSixer says, Michigan continues to impress me with its Bitcoin culture. Building the community inside of Bitcoin is the way. Nice job, everyone. And that was from the Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, Grand Rapids, Michigan, episode 23. And it's a little bit of an imposter syndrome kind of thing going on. I've been talking about the cool, like just how much I've been enjoying the meetups in Michigan for a long time on podcasts here, there, and everywhere. And, just putting that out there on Noster and whatnot. And, it's through doing this podcast, I do see that Michigan is not the only example of this. There are other examples of shit like this happening, but it's not everywhere. And I think the big goal of this is the information that we're trying to propagate here is like, how can you make it happen everywhere? How can it be like Michigan and these other places everywhere? Like, what can we do? Let's share the information so that way we can manifest it. It's not going to be exact copies, right? This is the point, the decentralization of the cultural capital. You're going to build this same mesh Adele kind of situation in Kansas City, Missouri, or in the Indianapolis area, connecting between Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, and so on and so forth. And you're going to find your own ways of making the magic happen there. But yeah, the Michigan thing that's going on is an example of something magical happening. And so that episode was hopefully it shed some light on that. The Michigan Meetup Roundtable. Next, we got 500 Sats via Battersea Bitcoiners. Is that what you got?
I got one in between, but why don't you read that one off first?
All right. Go ahead. So Battersea Bitcoiner says, great show as always. Eagerly anticipating Rev reading off my tongue twister boost from a couple episodes back. Love the roundtable format. Keep it up, chaps. And that was from Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Battersea Bitcoiners, I was going to try and like figure out some like, you know, accent to do it in and do it up, you know. Maybe I should just try and read it again next time for fun with all my preparation involved. But anyways, totally that was a great boost. Great boost. Great boost.
So the one in between was 1,111 Sats Roa Sticks from Jer. You guys continue to crush it. And that was on episode 23, Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo.
Thanks, Jer. Next, we got 101 Sats via Fountain from Noster Gang, Orange Heart, Purple Heart, Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, Grand Rapids, Michigan, episode 23. Thanks, Noster Gang. Next, okay. I got 1,000 Sats via Fountain from WitSixer. I did not know about Grassroots. Glad you guys shed light on it. This is one of the reasons what you guys are doing in the podcast is so important. And that was on Grassroots Recap, Philly Suburbs, and Bitcoin Park, Nashville, episode 6. And yeah, if that's what's happening with Sixer is that we're opening, spreading a veil to some new information. That's the goal, you know, making it less friction, easier for people to get started, more information out there for you to participate in this thing, right? Facilitate more Bitcoin transactions, more cultural capital, more resilience. So we don't have to fucking care about the flock cameras and the inflation of the currency and whatever else. We can just live in our parallel system.
Yeah, and just another example here, right, of the old episodes. So thank you, WitSixer, for going back and digging some of these up and letting us keep talking about them. Appreciate the boost.
Next, we got 1,111 Sats Row of Sticks via localbitcoiners.com from Permanerd. I'm struggling to find time to listen to much right now. I'm thinking about you guys, though, and I will catch up. And that was on Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, Grand Rapids, Michigan, episode 23. Well, Permanent, if you didn't listen to that episode and you were just boosting to maintain your streak, you should, if you do find time, that is where you will hear the magic that the Michigan scene brings to Bitcoin meetup culture. Check it out.
And I got two boosts that apparently got skipped in your feed. The first one is 1,237 sats via fountain from God's Death. It says, thank you, gentlemen. That was on episode 23, Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, Grand Rapids.
Thank you, God's Death.
And 100 sats via fountain from Pyrohawk. It says, did notice a difference in audio quality, but nothing terrible. Certainly still listenable. Definitely interested in hearing some different perspectives with multiple inputs. I wouldn't mind an episode like this every month or two. And so, of course, that was on the Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, episode 23. So good to hear that the audio quality was still not too bad. We understood that there was, you know, we were trying out a new thing. So I'm glad to hear it was still listenable.
And, you know, it's good to hear that that was an enjoyable format for people. It's challenging. It's a little nerve wracking to get so many, different people involved. And being able to, you know, especially when we did that as an open call to the whole, Michigan Bitcoin culture. So like anybody could have popped in there. And, you know, we understand that most people will probably be respectful with the mic and their muting and everything. But we didn't know if it was going to turn into like a drunken Twitter spaces where people are just yelling at each other about shit and total chaos reigned. But it's good feedback to know that was enjoyable and we should try it again. Because I think there's a lot of good opportunities for it, for getting just a lot of different voices on the mic from a meetup culture or scene.
Yeah, we had fun with that. I liked that format too. I like reading off the boosts though, and boy, do we have a lot of boosts, huh?
Let's keep going.
Count like five more. Yeah, so we got.
We're gonna have the longest episode ever. I got 1,000 sats from Permanerd.
Let's go.
Okay, so yep. I got 1,000 sats from Permanerd via localbitcoiners.com. Can't remember if I've had a chance to listen to this one. So here's another boost. If not, I will listen to it as soon as possible. And that was on getting lucky with the meetups with Jacob, Indianapolis, episode 22. All right, Permanerd. So it sounds like you listened to the last one. Maybe you didn't listen to that one. All good, dude. You're playing the game. Next, we got 5,420 sats via fountain from Otis Bittmeyer. The culture and commerce we are building in our region is inspiring and exciting, and we're just getting started. Join us at Fork and Coin for V4V Chicago coming up September 14th through 15th. We'll have food, music, commerce, and more. I'll be sharing coffee. What value will you bring? More info at ChicagoBitcoinCollective.com. And so, yeah, this came up already. This value for value event, at Fork and Coin at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective on September 14th to 15th. It's going to be a really cool event. You know, our friends over there at the Open Market Podcast, Eric FJ is going to be there. Avi is going to be there. Vitor is going to be there. Who is the lead dev on the Amethyst wallet or Amethyst client. So yeah, I mean, it technically it's kind of a wallet too. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of high signal folks all in one place. I was thinking about it, you know, at the very beginning, there was these like Nostr events, right? Nostrica. There was the one in
Nostrabama.
Nostrabama came later, but there was like one in Tokyo the Nostraville. And so like at that time when Nostr was hot and heavy and there was people coming out, they were really coming out to propagate some information and connect. This event is going to feel like that. I'm excited for it. I've got a good
major
vibe
FOMO
for it. Yeah. Yeah. And that's Otis Bittmeyer is going to be there with his coffee.
Sweet.
And okay. So we got one more boost. Do you have another one between here and 100 sats via Boost Me Bitch? Okay,
nope,
so last boost of the show, 100 sats via Boost Me Bitch, and that's it on localbitcoiners.com, anonymous. Thank you.
Let's go.
Man, what a wild time this has been. And, you know, it's validating and it's terrifying and horrifying and terrible in so many ways, but also, you know, validating in that the path that anyone that listens to this podcast is on is moving towards a decentralized form of interaction with Bitcoin, right? You're going to try and find your local Bitcoiners. You're going to be learning from them. And you're going to be mitigating these centralized points of failure, especially when it comes to the propagation of the cultural capital. We're in control. We run the nodes. You can own and operate some hash, and you can propagate cultural capital with your local community and get everybody on the same page. And that's how you enforce consensus, the aggregate of all of the interactions and all the participation of the users, right, of the network. And we are the users of the network, and we can meet up and we can talk to each other about how to do this well, how to benefit from this.
Yeah, and I'll just say it was really great. You know, we just read through the last 21 days of boosts. So it's been 3 weeks since we've had a chance to do this. And boy, did I need that. That was a great pick me up. Because this was a heavy episode, and boy, it was great getting to reconnect with all of you in our community and hearing all the cool shit that you guys have going on, hearing what you think about some of the past episodes. Just really great to hear what you guys got going on. And we're really glad to be back in the swing. So we should be back on our more normal schedule here going forward. And just great to be back.
Love it. Love you guys.
Roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.